This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh**.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He called the sh**.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shitter!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Wednesday here in Gillette Stadium, August 8th, and it's a busy day here in Foxborough. It started off with rain and the Patriots' morning practice being moved inside the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse. And we just came back from a press conference in which Robert Kraft, the owner of the team, and the Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association announced that starting December 1st in 07, the high school Super Bowls will be played here in Gillette Stadium. So that's good news. And Gary, my computer just shut off. I don't know why. Is there a plug here? Can somebody plug in my computer? Anyway. All right. How's everybody doing? Tom is here. Paul's here. Where's Andy?
Still eating.
He's still eating.
Still, Eric's coming?
I assume.
Okay, good. So we got a game coming up on Friday, preseason game against Tampa Bay. We'll be leaving Gillette Stadium tomorrow for Tampa Bay. And, guys, any news? I know that they picked up a cornerback yesterday from the Bears. Let's talk about that and anything that you think fans should know going into this game on Friday.
Well, in regards to the cornerback, Paul, I was telling Andy earlier, he was one of those sleeper guys that everyone likes to talk about during the draft. You know, he's from a school no one's ever seen or heard of.
Plus, he started at Arkansas.
Right.
And then ended up at Arkansas Pine Bluff. So he would definitely be one of those guys.
He was one of the Mel Kiper guys who, you know, top sleeper guys during the draft. And I remember when Carolina got him in the fourth round, all of a sudden their draft grade went up, you know, because, oh, they got Wesley in the fourth round. They got this big sleeper. So he was that type of guy coming out of college. But it just never... it's never happened for him in the NFL. He hasn't really played much. He's a special teams guy. I wouldn't expect much out of him on the defensive side of the ball, and Bill even kind of said so in the press conference. He's more of a special teams guy. So
yeah, and it's not like
shot,
it's
I
not like he's that young that, you know, you could say he could develop into something. He's been in the league 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, he's only has two starts under his belt in 5 years.
And that was surprising to me. I thought he might have played more than that.
So, you know, the fact that the one thing I will say that he's got great size.
Oh, yeah, he's
for,
a big
for
guy.
A corner. He's a big guy. He
likes to talk, too. I'm sure that will be curbed soon.
He talked extensively after practice.
I guess he was comparing Asante Samuel to Lance Briggs. Maybe that stuff flies under Lovie Smith, but here in New England, we won't be having any of that.
Yeah, I mean, based on his size, I'm not surprised to see that he has a pretty good special teams resume. Mm-hmm. You know, I would imagine that being an athlete good enough to play cornerback at that size,
right?
He's probably a pretty good special teamer.
You're probably looking at a Mel Mitchell, Wesley battle for a roster spot.
So not someone that's going to challenge for any type of starting or nickel cornerback job.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I wouldn't think so, but you know, we've never seen the kid play either, really.
I wouldn't rule it out.
And you're also talking injuries, too. Like Randall Gay, if he got injured, then all of a sudden you're bumping everyone up again. Then he's in the mix. I think right now you're looking at maybe Merriweather doing a lot of slot corner play.
And let's be honest, Randall Gay has, we've seen him get nicked up almost every time he's on the field. We've seen him stretch a groin, stretch a hamstring, hurt his shoulder. Another one that Eric had the other night, whatever happened that night.
And Eric and Andy are now here. But, Andy, you bring up a good point about the nickel thing because I was talking with someone downstairs earlier. Torrey James can't play the nickel. he's too tall and he's not made for that right. nickel. So he's basically either outside or nothing. So when you start talking about that nickel position, if James now has to go in for Gay and you're moving everyone up, then that's probably where you're going to see Wesley get on the field.
Okay, Ben Watson was out today and out yesterday. Any concern about him? Any idea of what's going on? I do have to say, Eric, when we were watching the in-stadium practice Monday night, mm-hmm. I did see a play in the end zone, a ball that he ended up missing. And he wasn't limping, but he walked slowly back.
Yes.
That's what one of our fans sent into the blog.
He was shaken up late in practice on Monday, according to some of the other blogs that I read.
Yeah, it was not ours.
Just not ours.
Eric was too busy talking with Mrs. B about new media.
And Don Crickey. As I said, they both were, you know, think they were good or surrounding the game of football 15 years ago.
I believe Fred's question was about Benjamin Watson. Was it not?
You don't have the answer. Otherwise, it would have been on the blog.
I would hope. But no, yeah, you're right. It was a play that was almost a touchdown and was in that situational aspect when they were doing down and distance and
right.
a minute 30 left. And it was almost, I think, the last play of that series. 5 seconds to go, he threw it a little bit overthrown.
Yep.
Yeah, it didn't look like anything really happened to him. He just sort of like kind of walked
back. It kind of reminded me of what happened to Moss earlier in training camp.
Yeah, it was the same
thing. Like he just kind of walked off, mm-hmm. but now that you look back at it, it was a little gingerly. And that's,
do you think
you know,
it's a hamstring?
I don't
a muscle
know.
Issue?
Well, it could be a quad, hamstring,
let me
calf.
Let me ask you guys. Fred, I already know your answer, so you don't need to respond. Any worries right now with some of these injuries?
No.
We're getting the high-profile guys like Watson, Moss,
Stallworth. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. When you have all these new pieces, you don't know what your offense is going to be, and so many of the pieces are either out of action or limited. And plus, as you start to get on in camp, if this keeps happening, well, then you really start to wonder, well, what are we going to be?
Well, if it keeps happening, yeah, that's a problem. But at this point in camp, we haven't even played one preseason game yet. I don't think it's
time to
panic.
I don't know. Bill Belichick tells me how important these early practices
in camp
can be. Yeah,
but this happens every year.
David Thomas is supposed to play, and I haven't seen him. Never mind, seen him.
Let's put it this way. If this is, and I'm not saying, when I say the extent, I'm not saying that they won't have any more injuries the rest of the year. What I'm saying is the severity. If this is the severity of injuries that the Patriots are going to be dealing with, they lost a guy in Chad Scott, obviously a serious injury. But, Moss, you know, day-to-day kind of thing. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to linger 5 weeks into the season. No, maybe it will.
But you never know.
Chad Jackson did. Chad Jackson did.
You never know with a hamstring.
Who knows?
Many a hamstring has lingered.
That's what I was going to say.
But
if they're all
hamstring
injuries,
if this is the severity of injuries, the level that they're going to have to deal with, I think it'll be a pretty successful year in terms of the injury front and probably a little bit of an improvement over the last several years here in New England.
Right.
I think there's – it's not ready to jump ship by
right.
any means.
Right. Is it not a concern? No, you have to be concerned.
You had this
it.
Wow offense and all these receivers, and we named four guys as locks, right? Well, three of them have been limited in camp. Troy Brown hasn't been out there. Randy Moss hasn't been out there in a few days. And Stallworth is just starting to actually work into something.
Right.
So
Watson and Thomas.
Well, in a way.
Right, and we had two, you know,
on the bright side now with Moss.
And Brady. Kyle Brady.
Right.
You know,
although I think
with
Brady's
Moss kind
close.
Of sitting out and with Brown sitting out, this will give more reps to Stallworth. So you can look at it in the bright side.
Well, he just got back.
You know, well, he just got back. Right.
You always can. But
just a quick one. Kyle Brady and Richard Seymour were on the field the outdoor practice field while we were conducting interviews with the whatever you
the
want
players,
third stringers who practiced today, and they were with the trainers running sprints. So
that's
would lead me
sign.
To believe they're getting close to being
maybe
ready.
They're
to
getting
practice.
Ready to do.
Well,
the
Kyle Brady should be because I mean he's kind of been in and out of there, but Seymour maybe looks like he could be on the verge of being
Kyle
ready.
Brady. It's strange because you've seen him, and I'm not saying that you would see, it's not like the guy would have a bone sticking out of his arm or something, that would lead you to believe he's seriously injured, but I've seen him several times, and it doesn't look like he's getting treatment, going to get treatment.
I think he's just old.
I think, yeah.
Because I heard, no, I'm serious.
I think they're really monitoring him very closely.
He said, I want to get the phrasing right, but he said, my body's telling me a lot of different things.
I agree.
And I think that's just speak for, I'm old, I have a lot of aches and pains. If it was the middle of the season, I might miss a Wednesday practice and then play Sunday.
Yeah, and I think Belichick does that. I think with the veterans.
He knows what he has.
Yeah.
And
he listens to them. And
he seems
words,
to respect Brady. Yeah. And if he respects a guy and doesn't think a guy is milking it or taking advantage, I think he'll help him do what he needs to do to be ready when the season opens.
In other words, I think if they had games, all of this time that he's been out, I don't think he would have missed a snap. Let alone a game. I don't think he would have missed a snap.
You're not going to rush Richard Seymour back to get training camp in. He knows what
he's supposed to do. Well, we know
Seymour. Yeah. So
we've seen this act.
What, he's coming off a subpar year?
Right. But we've seen him get training camp off.
It is a little frustrating with
the
tight end position,
subpar year.
Though, because
yeah.
every year it seems that the all the tight ends never were on the field at the same time, whether it was Daniel Graham and Watson.
And Thomas
or this year with David Thomas and now Watson. It's a little frustrating. Yeah, but he's not the guy. I mean, we want to see Dave
Thomas. Right now he's the guy.
David Thomas, I'm starting to have serious doubts about his availability for the season.
Yeah.
Because those walkthroughs, Andy and I talked about it at one of the daily camp casts. When you have all those PUP guys and they're all out there, but there's one guy, four different times on a walkthrough, there was every PUP guy out except for David Thomas. That tells me that the Patriots don't want us to see him.
Liz Frank.
Because, you know, maybe he's still on crutches or, you know, whatever. You know, maybe it's a noticeable limp and everybody's going to look at it and see.
Right.
I don't think that he's close.
This sort of flies in the face of your little theory. There's guys out there that tore their ACLs and ligaments that are recovering enough to be on the practice field, and a guy who supposedly just broke his foot, which you think is just a broken foot.
If it was just a broken foot, then but it may be more.
You don't know
than
what it means. I kind of joke about it, but that Liz Frank thing is a broken foot that we've seen guys struggle with over the years.
Yeah, it took Ty about a whole year.
Technically, just a broken foot.
Right, it took Ty Law a whole year to get over that.
So you never know what it is specifically. Maybe Paul's right. Maybe he's still limited, limping, and they don't want people to know.
I got a feeling you're not going to see him this year,
which is a shame.
And if you don't, that gives, at least in camp now, it gives guys like a Garrett Mills a chance to maybe do something, maybe earn a spot.
He really needs to step it up. That's a good point, Eric.
That he got blistered yesterday by
Graham. He ran on cuts 12 balls in a row.
Yeah. I'll tell you, either he's got something that they're trying to get out or he's just not good, because Brady has blistered him a few times since minicamp.
I agree with that assessment, because you wouldn't blister a guy you just didn't have any hope.
Yeah, right.
He hasn't yelled at Matt Krancic yet.
Right.
And there's been opportunity.
And like
so
we said, right after Brady blistered him, Brady threw him the ball.
I yelled at you because I care. Now catch the ball off road.
And he threw him like a dozen times, it seemed like.
Chop him down to build him up.
Maybe there's hope for Garrett Mills.
There's an opportunity for him if Thomas isn't.
They're going to have three tight ends.
Now, Garrett Mills could play tight end. He's kind of that H-back,
in my opinion,
but he
could
play tight end.
In my opinion, Fred, I just don't even see him as – does anyone else see him as a running back?
No.
I consider him a tight end.
But he could be that H-back.
I don't know where he lies.
I see him out of the backfield tight end.
If he's good enough, you know, in terms of his overall skills, I think he sticks on the team. But I don't see him at one position being good. You know, I don't see him being big enough to play tight end. I don't see him being quick enough, fast enough to play running back. But I think if he's good enough in terms of a football player, you keep him and you just find spots for him.
I said that out at practice because I said I think he's going to make the team because they have to have three. And somebody said, really? And I said, well, Bill talks about it every time. He might not be better at one thing than the other guy he's going to be compared to, but the fact that he can do five things at a C level makes him more valuable. Matt Krancic, maybe he's a better blocker. But you know what? Garrett Mills covers kicks, can block, can catch, can play a little fullback, can play a little tight end. He's more valuable.
Gets good grades.
Yeah, and I didn't think he'd make the team with the other three, but now with the injuries,
you got to have three.
And the injury is a huge.
No offense, it's not Matt Krancic.
I'm also wondering if maybe, and Andy and I also talked about this on the Camcast.
We talk
maybe,
a lot.
Maybe if there was a little bit of a shift in the offense. We've seen so much two tight ends, right? And that's why Bill always says you have to have three if you want to have a base offense that involves two tight ends, because you can't just, you know, lose one and then suddenly half your offense is out. So I'm wondering if maybe we're going to see a little bit of a transition with all these receivers. Maybe you're going to have more three and four wide-out sets with one back.
Right. More of a traditional.
Maybe just Watson's on the field instead of Watson and Thomas or Watson and Brady.
They have been practicing that a lot.
And it also spreads the field for more chances for cutback options as you spread out the secondary.
Right. I think Maroney becomes much more dangerous in that kind of a setup.
Gives a little more room to work with. So it could be a possibility.
Yeah. Now, obviously, Tom's right. They've been practicing that the whole time. Whether they're practicing that because that's their offense or because of no tight ends
necessity.
Have been healthy, you know, who knows?
Right, so they had no tight ends. The receivers aren't healthy. Yesterday it was Gaffney, Caldwell, Welker for 85% of the reps.
But the thing about Maroney is a good point, because as good as Dylan was the year he had 1,600 yards, you still got him when he was older. It wasn't Corey Dillon of the late night, like the explode. Because Dillon used to be pretty explosive. He had a lot of long runs in his career.
He had like 270 yards in a
game.
Yeah, 96-yard run against
Denver. But you basically had an older Dillon where he was getting 5, 8, 9 yards a clip there. You haven't had this explosion like you have with Maroney probably since Curtis
Martin. They haven't had a big play running game since Curtis Martin, and this could be a big play running game.
So now you're talking about spreading people out, getting those big gains. I think you're right. I think that has a lot to do with it.
What about Troy Brown? I mean, he's on PUP. Could he be one of those guys that stay on PUP until that deadline and which would then give a guy like Rashay Caldwell or Jabbar Gaffney kind of that by default, you know, roster.
Then you're not going to have enough receivers, because if we have Jackson on PUP, and Brown on PUP, and Kelly Washington just doesn't seem to do anything right now. Now all of a sudden we don't have this great stock of wide receivers.
But if you have Moss
and Welker, okay, then you've got
Gaffney and Caldwell.
And
that's five.
And there's your five.
Don't think it's as good as all this hyped up position we had. Where all of a sudden it was pretty good. We got to cut eight guys because we have too many.
Well, wait a minute.
It's still the same.
The only difference is Brown's not active, and Caldwell or Gaffney is.
No,
active.
People were cutting either Gaffney, Caldwell, or both at one point.
Now we're cutting Washington.
But now we're cutting Washington instead of Gaffney and Caldwell.
And we have two others with hamstring problems. So we have Wes Welker, basically.
Well,
we have the group last year.
Andy Welker.
I was going to say, I'm putting Moss and Stallworth on the team. I'm not necessarily saying that they're useless.
I'm sure they have hamstring issues. But I just think once you have a hamstring issue as a receiver, I put that as a possibility every week moving forward.
It's a tough year for the Patriots, according to Andy Hart. No receivers, no tight ends.
I just think hamstrings are back.
No, I know.
They're tough.
It'll end up as much as any injury, Perillo, on message boards, though.
I agree with you. It's a hamstring and back. Those two linger all year.
You see those, and you just never know when they're going to... You see a guy, and he looks fine, and the next week he's hurt.
Yeah, they're very frustrating for the fans, too, because you want to see...
Player. I worry about it more player. With Stallworth.
Tease. It's a real tease.
I worry about it more with Stallworth than Moss, because I think Moss can play with it, and I think that he has demonstrated the ability to play in the past, whereas Stallworth seems his issues are more severe, and they've cost him more games over his career.
I think that's a good point for another reason, too, Paul, is that Moss catches the football. Anything you throw to him, I mean, he might drop one every now and again when he's going across the middle, and he doesn't like to do that much, but he always catches the football. Stallworth, when he came here, I looked at his numbers, and I'm like, boy, he doesn't have a lot of catches through his career, and I think Andy Hart hit it perfectly the first time we saw him. He does not catch the ball naturally with his hands. Mm. He's a big play receiver. I don't think you're going to get your 80 receptions from Stallworth.
No.
So I think the hamstring is worse for Stallworth because he needs that explosion and speed to be effective because he's not going to be a possession.
Right. He runs down the field and runs under the ball and cradles it in rather than actually catching it.
Which is easier to catch.
I think Moss, personally, could extend his career by 5 years if he was willing to just be a possession receiver. I don't think he has it in him, but I think he has the hands. I think he has the size where he could turn into like a Keyshawn where he's just a big body that goes 8 yards and catches.
I think you're right, and I agree.
There's no chance.
Like Jerry Rice at the end of his career, like the Oakland years for Jerry Rice, he wasn't anywhere near what he was in San Francisco, but he extended it with some really productive seasons with a ton of catches.
I think Moss could do that.
I don't see Moss doing that, but he could.
Yep.
He has the skill set to do it, but I don't think he has any interest in doing it.
All right. We can take a break. When we get back, we'll talk about what we might look forward to in this game on Friday.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, gotta be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's gonna be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twelman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save! Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
The New England Revolution.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Okay, back here in PFWinProgress.com, I was going to say. No, it's just PFW in Progress on PatriotsRadio.com. The email address is webradio@patriots.com.
Webradio.com.
What's PatriotsRadio.com?
Patriots Radio.
Isn't it the Patriots something
Patriots.com radio, isn't it?
And 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Isn't that what it is?
508-543-7482. Patriots Radio on Patriots.com.
I thought it was Patriots.com radio.
Isn't there some network, PFN? Patriot
Football
Network.
I like it. Hey, that ad in the yearbook looks pretty good, by the way.
I didn't even see it yet. I got a stack of yearbook pages.
Did you look at those yesterday?
Heck yes, I did.
I was working on my...
That was another thing I did before.
Speaking of the yearbook, that's coming out soon, and you're going to want to get it just for the cover. It's going to be a real collector's item. Of course, if you're...
season's almost over.
If you're a paid subscriber to Patriots Football Weekly, you get it free with your paid subscription. So if you don't subscribe to Patriots Football Weekly...
Shame on you.
Shame on you. All right, let's talk about this game on Friday, evening. Would we see typical time from the Patriots starters, or do you think they might get a little more this time?
You might not.
And I know you guys
time.
Have assured me that they've
Ten
done
plays.
Sufficient hitting in practice, but I have yet to been
you.
A practice
Who
where they've
you?
Hit. Now, I've missed a few. And
I just don't think that they've hit any less than they have in the past.
No?
Maybe a little, but I don't think it's an issue.
I haven't seen one practice where they've hit, and I've missed maybe
they've
four.
Banged
you've
some.
But you know what the difference is, Fred, and I'm not. Don't take this as a shot.
you've missed a lot of practices.
You've missed more practices than you normally do. You usually don't miss
any. I know.
That's why you
like
see,
said,
and you just have missed.
I have missed. I've missed like four or five.
And Tom has missed like one or one and a half practices the whole time. You missed the
best
without
one.
Without question,
was
the most physical
I was gonna,
one.
The thing that I thought was different, and I don't know, maybe I'm not right. Last year, it seemed like they worked on those Corey Dillon running
goal
thing.
Line.
Like
yeah.
They were always every.
I have not seen.
Like
I have not seen goal line at all. And I was told. I actually asked about that about a week ago, and I was told that it was coming that night, and then they didn't do it.
Well,
really
they've
that
done
night.
Some goal line stuff, but they've always thrown it, or Brady did a quarterback sneak.
Yeah,
they
no,
did
I'm
a
talking,
lot of running
I'm talking
last
about
year,
live.
Well, they don't have a running back.
The
guy has a red jersey on. It'd be unfair to say he's allowed
might,
to plow through us, and
that
we're not allowed to hit
part
him.
Of it.
That might be part of it. But you know,
he had a great run yesterday,
and
as John Tomasi says, wow, he runs well when no one's allowed to hit him. I mean,
yeah, they did a little bit of 9-on-7 running in the goal line.
But they've always done
that was
every year since I've been here, going back to Carroll.
But it's
they've
not as
always
good.
Done like four plays live tackling to the ground goal line.
Did
at
they
some
do it
point.
Last year? Because I feel like it's really wavered up. I don't remember it actually being great all the way back to Bryant College. Is when I then it used to be true goal line. You'd see like Ted Johnson jumping from one side
right.
and a running back meeting in the air.
Right.
I think it's gotten progressively lesser and lesser every year.
You're probably right because I haven't seen it at all this year.
So I, you know, that's just something that's occurred to me, and I worry.
So you think they're not physically ready?
Well, I just worry that they're going to get into Tampa Bay
and get hurt.
They're just not conditioned for hitting.
Just try not to get out there and
get
hurt.
Be all right.
Plus, who cares? No offense, but
what do you? I mean, the max you can, I think, 10 to 15 plays, 12 plays for Brady.
You're going to see a lot of Matt Cassel, and
Matt
I think
Cassel.
That's what you need to look at. Here's what I'm.
I think you're
going
to. Though he was, did he talk up Gutierrez a little bit today, saying that he earned playing time
a little bit? He said he respected the fact that he works hard. He's got, you know,
you'll
got a long way.
Because I got to be honest with you, I didn't think we were going to see any of Gutierrez until today.
You'll see Gutierrez.
The thing I'm looking for the most in this game is Matt Cassel. I don't want to see him running because Mike Vick can't make a living out of running the football in the NFL from the quarterback position, then Matt Cassel sure as heck isn't going to do it. Stay in the pocket, go through your progressions, and deliver the football. If he wants to run around like a chicken with his head cut off, that's great in the preseason. But you know what? Brady goes down for a month. It's Vinny Testaverde who'll be the backup quarterback.
Speaking
here.
Of Vinny, where is he? Is he He'll coming be in later?
Two-a-days aren't over yet.
They have a couple more two-a-days.
That's it. As soon as those two-a-days are over, you'll see Vinny.
Vinny and Paul are on the same schedule.
He's in the media guide, too.
Next Wednesday is the last open practice, training camp practice. So I would imagine in that area we'll see Vinny.
Training camp's gone pretty fast this year.
And Tom and I were discussing, Brady goes down whenever, and I don't want to scare you, but...
Just for a month, not the whole season.
Yeah, he goes down for a month in October. Who gets the start?
Cassel.
You're nuts.
I think it's Testaverde.
I think it's Cassel.
I think they'll do it with Cassel. Well,
I've been disappointed in this year from Cassel.
If he comes
so
in and explodes,
that's not the question you
They'll have
me.
The hook quickly for Vinny, but I think they're going to give the shot to Cassel.
Now you're saying Bill doesn't make smart decisions.
I don't think Vinny can play. I think Vinny's 5 years beyond being anywhere near a productive NFL quarterback or even a serviceable NFL quarterback.
Of development from being an NFL quarterback.
I'm not saying I feel comfortable with Matt Cassel, but Vinny can't play.
He's become Steve DeBerg.
Destitute man.
Steve DeBerg got out of the league a long time before he got to this level.
Didn't they play together? Yeah, Steve DeBerg. So Steve DeBerg was like at 40 something when he was playing for Atlanta. He was in his mid 40s and he came back and played
Steve
for
DeBerg,
Atlanta.
Steve DeBerg at the end of his career could still play. Vinny can't. And he's had a nice career, but I don't think he has any. Did you watch him play for the Jets a couple years ago when they had that miserable team? That was some of the worst quarterbacking I've ever seen.
Well, I watched him play for the Cowboys. That wasn't any better.
And that's even longer ago, right?
That was after the Jets.
No. This most recent time with the Jets when he threw the touchdown pass last Monday night game.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
that was 3 years ago, and that was some of the worst quarterbacking I've ever seen. 2 years ago.
That's why I want to see what Cassel has to offer. I mean, I don't want to see him running.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here telling you that I think Matt Cassel is the be all end all. He's very much a question mark. We have not seen it, and I agree 1,000% with Tom's thing. I don't want to see him running. I want to see him standing in the pocket, throwing the ball on the bounce, where he's supposed to get the ball out. I want to see it coming out of his hands. But too often, even in the preseason when he's played well, you know, it's a bad play on first down. It's maybe a running play. It's third and long, and he bails himself out because he's a little bit more athletic than some of the other guys. He's playing against guys that aren't going to be in the league, and he scrambles for 12 yards in a first down, and suddenly you get a new set of downs. Well,
and we put him on the cover.
In real regular season action,
Cassel building.
That's three and out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the difference.
Because Ed Reed's going to run you down.
Because you're not going to be able to do that in the regular season.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. John... calling from Palm Beach. John, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good. Is that Palm Bay or Palm Beach?
Palm Bay.
Palm Bay. Where is that?
It's right down the shuttle. What shuttle goes off?
Oh, yeah.
In the Cape Canaveral area.
Okay, great. What can we do for you today, John?
I just have a quick question. Do you have an idea of what Patriots are members of the Christian Fellowship Athlete Association?
What Patriots are in the Christian Fellowship Association?
I know of at least one. I think Kyle Brady might have been. That's the only one I know for sure. Maybe Sammy Morris, too.
Yeah, that's the one that...
If I'm not mistaken, Don Davis was a big part
Don
of that.
Don Davis.
They have a very active Bible study group.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know if that means they're in the association.
I don't know if it's the association, but I think Don Davis was
in
the association.
I think John Brody was in charge of that or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They have a very active Bible study group. I know that for a fact. They have their meetings. You always see the signs up. Don Davis was a big part of it. Mm-hmm. The chaplain, what's his name, Walt?
Walt.
The chaplain
works
with them.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Is that it?
Just hopefully the Patriots will be in the football again this year.
We you know, from your lips to God's ears. There you go. All right.
That was well done, Freddie.
Yeah. All right, webradio@patriots.com. That's John in Palm Bay. Not Bombay, Palm Bay.
I got it. Yeah. I liked your religious reference earlier.
We got one phone call, and that's all right. Webradio@patriots.com is email address. Webradio@patriots.com.
Hey, Paul, Quentin Smith.
I was going
to
say,
so you know, when you have SPFW, get ready to talk about Quentin Smith.
That'll be the hero this year, Quentin
Why?
Smith.
He's showing a little spark.
He's got
a little wiggle to him.
He's got a little wiggle. I wrote it yesterday
in the
blog.
Talking about in the
12 carries,
of preseason.
69 yards, a touchdown,
tomorrow?
And let the emails flood through. If it's tomorrow, if it's next, he will have a big second
I'm
half
not up
in
next
one of the
week,
games.
Am I?
I don't know.
You are.
Yeah.
Oh, then I'll be writing about Quentin Smith.
We're talking about, Fred, we're talking about people who wanted to trade Kevin Falk. 2 weeks from now.
Last year, Smith will be.
Hey, we finally got a backup to Maroney. This is good.
People thought we could get rid of Kevin Falk for Patrick Cobb. So you do remember
who is no longer in football.
Yeah. He isn't?
I don't think he is. Where is he? Tell me where he knows.
I don't know, but there's like 8 million people in football right now. Rosters are as big
as... Ventrone is still in football.
Matt Krinchik is on a roster, I'm sure Patrick Cobb is.
I'm sure. I do want to remind people on for Friday's game, Andy Hart will be on the WBCN pregame show.
Wow. Very big.
So that's huge.
5:28 p.m. Set your digital audio recorders.
Digital audio recorders.
And Paul, is that even a machine? Will you be on the EEI show?
For the regular season, Fred.
They don't do preseason?
No.
But above that, Fred.
So when they don't need do pregame shows.
So should I have put you in the BCN rotation?
Hell no.
Preseason?
I don't think that.
Hell no.
First of all, I don't think it's fair to Tom.
Hell
Andy.
No.
It's not in your contract?
But second of all, I don't think it would be.
Do you have a contract with EEI?
Kosher.
It's his full-time job. What are you talking about?
Who's your agent, Paul?
No. I don't have an agent.
We do.
We do, Fred.
Wait, he's hesitating when he answers that. You have a contract?
I don't have a contract.
You don't have a contract?
No.
You don't?
Gary, who's your agent?
Nothing in writing.
No, I'm Paul's agent.
I have something. Yeah, if anybody would be my agent, it would be Gary, because he was instrumental in getting me some of the gigs.
Gary, when are you going to do something for me?
Or me?
Oh, I'm going to be your agent.
As soon as you guys display the talent to do so.
I'm going to get you guys.
You, show. You didn't.
I'm going to get gigs. So, Tom,
I would be talking
Paul
about,
is under contract with EEI.
I wouldn't be talking about talent. Mike Felker has his own show.
He just works for us, but he's under contract with EEI. What about Fox Sports Net? Got a contract with them?
No.
No? Okay, and then Neckin, you're on Neckin, right, with our show.
I was going to say, so are you.
No, I'm just, we got to rattle off the media highlights, you know.
Ron Borges no longer a part of the WBCN
pregame
show.
He is not, and they're not replacing him. There's
officially,
no one,
huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's that's good news for me.
Why?
Why?
There goes your ratings.
Why are you taking shots at our pregame show? We'll be okay.
Because you guys beat us last
year.
We'll
be okay.
It's competitive.
Luckily, we can fall 17 points and still be ahead of you guys.
All right, 508-543-7482. The phones are picking up. Mike is in Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
32 seconds that Andy was a part of was instrumental.
And all you guys, first of all, Fred, you're not the backup to John Rook, are you?
The backup to John Rook. Were you at the stadium today?
Yes, I was.
I'm sorry about that.
We're all sorry.
I am not the backup, but on days where we have a situation like today, I go up and do a little
situation.
PA for the people that are watching in the bowl.
Well, let's just hope that you're not the backup for John Rook during the game time.
Fred, I think
that's
a shot.
Thanks, Mike.
Now you wonder why I kept my mouth shut the day that you weren't here.
Mike, you saw what they were doing in the bowl, right?
Of course, he doesn't.
Okay, what would you have liked me to have done? Because I'm waiting for the day where you explode on some mother.
Well, it's tough, but I was wondering what you guys' impressions was on C.J. Jones. It seems like he keeps catching... and catching him. What really is he doing on special teams? Because I haven't really seen anything out of him on special teams.
Tom?
You want me to take this one? Mike, C.J. Jones has no chance to make the team. I don't even know that he's on the field because I'm watching other receivers, but has he played special teams?
He's done some coverage things on the outside of kickoff coverage. May have done some work as a gunner, but I certainly haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him do a lot
role.
Of gunning because I've been writing down the gunners, and he hasn't done a lot.
Yeah,
so I think you're basically looking at a guy who's around for the first game to have some bodies in there, and then unfortunately for him, I mean, we're talking about there's no room for Kelly Washington. If there's no room for Kelly Washington and Bam Childress, there's no room for C.J. Jones.
And let's be honest, he's not a first-year guy. He's been around the league for a couple of years, so... he has even less of a chance. If you're a first-year guy out of, like, Hofstra and you're doing what he's doing, okay, maybe you can find a spot on a practice squad, but he's to the point where the dream is just about dead.
Yeah, I would say so.
Is that it, Mike?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, all thanks, right, Mike, and sorry about this morning. Okay.
A lot of phone calls today. Two phone calls this early in the show.
Well, this morning was really
that's
screwed
big.
Up. You know, they moved the practice indoors at the last minute. So the public wasn't allowed to go to the practice, but they had a lot of VIPs in the club. So they had to do something for them. So they
put their best voice out there.
Well, they put the practice up on the big board. But even that was curtailed because Belichick wouldn't let any of the media into the bubble until like 9:30. And by that time, all the ones were. So really, they got about 40 minutes of guys standing around doing nothing.
So what did you say?
You know, when they, you know, that's so-and-so with the ball or C.J. Jones with the catch.
How did you know?
I had a roster in front of me.
Okay.
So you didn't say so-and-so had the ball.
No, I didn't say so-and-so. I said the guy in
the... So where did the media have to wait all this time that you
first
guys
we waited by the base
outside.
Of the elevators on the concourse here on the 100 level.
Okay.
Then we walked out to the corner of the tent and waited, I mean, in the corner of the field house and waited another 20 minutes or so there before we were allowed in.
What exactly was going on? Do you know?
No one knows.
When the third teamers come in on Friday, look for all hell to break loose. Statue of Liberty, end around, triple reverses. They must have been running trick plays they don't want us to tell the Bucks about.
No.
That's all I can think about.
I don't know. I just think he looked at it as an opportunity. Yeah, it's just an opportunity to do some stuff in privacy.
Well, I hate the media, too. But, you know, what are you going to do?
You know.
And we got in there, and not surprisingly, they were stretching.
They were all done. Yeah. So it wasn't a good viewing day for the fans in attendance.
Sucked.
Mike and Sharon showing his displeasure, taking it out on Jake Steele, which is not
Jake Steele. Did you announce yourself as Jake Steele?
I did.
Hello, everybody.
This is Jake Steele.
Hello again, everybody. Jake Steele joining you here.
So we're sitting there, and it's dead silence.
I'm thinking, should I be saying something?
I turned to Dr. Dvorkin because, you know, there's nothing going. There's no even the practice hadn't started, just the graphic on the board. I go, should we be playing music or something? Because it was just nothing going on. These poor people are just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Web radio at
patriots.com. Skype.
Skype. All the hype about Skype. Anyone here have an iPhone yet?
Do we not have emails?
We have plenty of emails.
Well, so read them. It's training camp. There's 80 people on the roster. People want to know about C.J. Brown.
There's
read.
80 people on the roster and 800 storylines
going
on.
Jesus, and he's talking about freaking Skype like it's the last
of May.
Excuse me.
All right.
Once again.
I guess Capella was right. We do need to be on Sirius.
All right, Jonathan in Virginia writes in.
Another one goes
that's
down.
That's my first ever.
Jonathan says, Eric rules. He says, just wanted to chime in and say that Eric is my new favorite PFW contributor. His blogging notes were far superior to Tom's. And he has
I don't care.
And he has a great.
He missed Billy Yates getting hurt. And he How is he far superior?
He has a great sardonic attitude on the radio show. Eric is awesome, and he could probably
that's why you like him, because you know
Jackson
what sardonic means.
Did you hear that last line? No, you were
something about
busy.
Bo Jackson.
He could beat Bo Jackson.
People keep saying that he's better at blogging than me. Like,
that,
I care. Blog your. What, you want to swear, Andy? Blog your butt off, Eric.
I didn't really
say computer,
it.
Take the computer, go blog.
Oh, yeah, you did. Tom says that, but then he takes down all of the posts where people comment and say that they love me.
Yeah, he goes, so, you know, get posts. Andy, doing a great job. You and Eric are the best at this. Tom goes,
I delete those. I did once.
Sure, once.
Wow, I just scan
I post
them.
Everything.
I scan them for F-bombs, and I just bulk post them all.
A question
Thank you,
I
John,
had,
by the
what
way.
What are our
rules
for
it.
Posting comments? Is ass okay? Like a guy said,
run
his ass out of town
or
something. I deleted it, but.
Yeah, you don't.
Hell. Are we okay with hell?
Yeah, hell's okay.
See, I just scan them for, you know, for the bad words.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't know if ass was a bad word.
Like the ones
Andy just tell me I'm terrible. I just post it. Who cares?
Well, we can say ass and hell on this show.
No, not that word.
You got to love.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
he doesn't tell you about Ben Watson or Billy Yates.
Right.
But he's a great blogger. He's got some big words that only a few of you understand.
Sardonic wit.
He's taken about 17 shots at me in the blog.
Well, you deserve them.
And I take plenty of shots at him.
He said, and I quote, Paul was doing nothing.
Perillo's useless was my headline.
Wow.
As I'm, you know.
And it was true. You were there at least the other night when I missed the Billy Yates thing. There was nobody there to help me. You were sitting there.
Why do you need help?
Supposed to help me.
Why do you need help?
We all help each other.
When I blog, I don't ask anybody else for help.
Mrs. B had it. Mrs. B had it.
What are you talking about?
We all help each other.
Blogging
Come on,
is
Paul. He's just kidding.
Blogging is observations. You watch practice, make an observation, you blog it.
We all.
It's a one-man job.
Mrs. B had the Billy Yates thing. She was sitting right next to you.
Fans got
She's
it.
On top
Reese
of it.
Got it. Eric didn't. Whatever. Billy Yates.
All right. But the blogging has been very successful.
Very popular.
A lot of people viewing
12,000 hits yesterday.
12,000 views.
Whatever. More than 12,000, I think.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
That's good.
We're just rolling.
It's good.
Of course, I like my days because I've had days where it's like 8 million things happening. Moss is getting hurt, and Tom goes to block, and it's a walkthrough.
That's the other thing.
Led
it's hard
by
to
Matt
block.
Gutierrez.
There's not anything to blog about.
Well, speaking of what we're doing on the web, RJ in Vegas via Gloucester is very happy. I guess he got a glimpse of the new host for Patriots Today. And he
who's
says
much better looking than the old host.
Well, that's what RJ has to say.
I won't say Lori or B-Lo?
I won't B-Lo. Exactly say how he said it because it's not very nice. But
what did he say? Give us a hint.
He does enjoy seeing the new host. He also wants to know what's up with Quentin Smith. He says he must be really bad if we hear more about Justice Hairston, or is he hurt? No, he was out there.
No, he's going to be a star in the making. We just posted 2 days ago that he's going to be the running back star of the preseason. Fans will fall in love with. Watch him in the second half. And eat up his yardage.
Well, that was probably sent in before, anyway.
Now, what exactly did he say? Oh, Gary, thank you for bringing me the...
No, you can't read it.
I'm not gonna.
Okay.
Hey, that's not dirty.
Kai Marie says she's the Patriots' number one female fan. She says, I didn't know where to find the answer to this question.
We got it.
Do you know how to get Patriots on demand? I called Comcast, and they didn't know what I was talking about.
You just go to On Demand.
I looked all through the Comcast Sports Guide and On Demand guides, and nothing says Patriots On Demand. Well, I do say, Kai, what you have to do is go into the sports and fitness, then NFL, and then within that area, you'll find the Patriots.
And just so you know, that's Comcast's answer for just about everything.
Yes, right.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I will say, I think I struggled the first time to find it when I didn't know.
Yeah,
what
it is, make it it's easy. Not easy to find the Patriots
on
demand.
You have to start with sports and fitness, then go into NFL.
And there's another option that would seem more obvious. I think there's like an NFL option, and it doesn't fall under that umbrella.
Right.
It's like sports and fitness or something. There's another road you go down that you think it's going to be on, and you never find it.
Well, and plus, depending on where you are, I don't know where you're
from. Well, that's what I'm just going to ask.
Kai Marie, I don't know
everywhere?
Where she is. You could be from Maine and have Comcast, but not be able to get Patriots on demand because it's a kind of a league rule that you can't have it beyond 75 miles of Foxborough, which is ridiculous. So, but the good news
the
is,
league. But that is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. The good news
is ridiculous here.
It's ridiculous anywhere.
I agree with Paul.
There's fans of teams all over the country.
Yeah.
That's one way you can stay in contact with your team.
Exactly.
It's not cutting into another team's
go to the website.
It's not Jerry
area.
Jones's Patriots. And Robert Kraft's fault that they have more fans than the Cardinals. That's the way it is. So,
but even then, let's just say that everybody in the league had the same amount of fans. Why should I not be able to watch, if I'm in Arizona, New England?
Yeah,
or
exactly.
If, you know, Tom wants to watch Dallas here in Foxborough, but he can't do it. Yeah. Everybody can. You can choose
so
whichever one you want.
Often.
Well,
I agree with Fred on that one.
The good news, though, is Patriots Today, which is going to be the new half-hour nightly show, will be on demand, but also be on Patriots.com. So you can watch it. It'll be the same show on both. So you're not going to miss out on that flagship show. So.
Okay.
All right.
Next email.
Webradio@patriots.com.
Next topic.
Is the email address?
Now, what does B-Lo do for that? He hold the camera now or something?
No,
he walks around and goes, is this Sammy Morris? And I go, no, it's Kelly Washington. You know, he's about 6 inches taller than Sammy Morris.
So the guy who didn't know who Sammy Morris was is next on Fox Sports.
Yep.
Okay.
This
shows the quality they put on that show.
Down in that production department. Now.
Yeah,
and they bring them all to lunch.
There was one they had last week. Woo.
Wow.
Yeah, Tom was young, seconds away from being put in jail.
Young, skinny, blonde, just the way I like him, Fred. I was getting ready to,
file
for divorce.
That sound implies something that's okay if he does. He was
she
considering
was
some. I'm not sure she was.
She wouldn't be here if she wasn't.
Alex has an interesting question. He's wondering, is it possible to pinpoint precisely the moment or series of moments when the AFC became the strongest conference in football? Yes, it was when Elway beat the Packers.
January 23rd, 1998.
In other words, when the Cowboys' run was over.
When John Elway beat the
Green
Bay
Packers. The Packers weren't quite ready for prime time.
It's a good one, Fred. It's a good one by you.
Okay.
But in all actuality, you know what happened there was it took the Packers so long to overtake Dallas. And at that point, Dallas had gotten old, and the Packers were old, too, but they had overtaken the Cowboys. They beat the Patriots in that game, which was a lot closer than the final score indicated. And then the next year, that's when it switched.
All right. Let's see. Reverend Ray says, it's been a while. You guys have done a great job covering camp, but there's a couple things I'm curious about. How/what is Justin Rogers doing? Is he practicing with the D linemen, the linebackers, the punters?
Well, it's funny he should ask that because today I just said to somebody, you know, somebody who I've not seen or heard is Justin Rogers.
Like, I agree.
He's just been invisible.
Right? No, that's Zach West. 51.
Although we've actually talked about Zach West. Actually, that's how bad it
Zach
is for
West
Justin
Zach West is an
Rogers.
Interior defensive lineman and Justin Rogers an outside linebacker.
And they're both
practicing with outside linebackers.
He was out there on the field today a little bit. With the
I agree with Tom, though, and that's a guy that he's been kind of like my little camp sleeper coming in.
Still sleeping.
Haven't noticed him at all.
The only thing
doesn't mean he's not doing a good job. He hasn't stuck out.
The only thing we did notice about Justin Rogers was that during kickoffs yesterday, first and second kickoff units that were around there, Justin Rogers was on there. So for whatever that's worth, that's the only time we've really seen him doing.
Well, that's definitely something to keep an eye on Friday night is, the kickoff team, some of those coverage units, and then see who makes plays on those teams. See who looks like they did something when they got those opportunities, because that's how you find out 47 to 53. That's how you figure it out.
He hasn't been doing anything with the linebackers to speak of, like making any big tackles.
Right,
or
like
anything
Oscar
like
Lua
that,
took some reps with the ones one day, and he's been up there a little bit.
In the practices I've seen, they don't even tackle, so I couldn't even tell you. I'm
really
up
on this combat.
About that.
They never tackle. That's the thing I don't understand. They never tackle.
They
never tackle. The only time they ever tackle to the ground is that little goal line drill that usually consists of four plays.
I get the impression this year that there's less contact than in the past.
Why do you think that is?
You may be right.
I don't know.
You may be right. I think they're a little older, Fred. You know, I think that, what is this, something like 18 guys on the roster, 30 years or older? That might be a little bit high. Maybe it's an intentional, pull back on the throttle by Belichick to try to.
You missed yesterday afternoon, though. I think yesterday afternoon was probably their best practice.
You would have been doing cartwheels if you had watched yesterday's
Afternoon's
practice.
And they went longer than usual.
Defense
too.
Dominated.
They went about 10
minutes offense
longer,
early, so defense early late. Defense.
Okay, good.
And some of those picks everybody's writing about was Matt Gutierrez hitting people in stride that were wearing the other color.
Brady closed
a little
it
bit
out.
Colorblind.
Brady closed it out with a pick to Vrabel, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
Vrabel ran across field holding up and then slid down for the victory because it was Bill had said, you know, last play, something set up a situation. Vrabel came across, picked it, slid to safety.
Reverend also wants to know, is Ben Childress eligible for the practice squad again? And in your opinion, can he make a difference on an NFL roster?
I believe it's the Billy Yates rule, right?
I don't have the answer to the
question. I believe I read somewhere that, remember with Billy Yates, you could be on the practice squad as long as your roster was full?
Yeah, the only thing that I don't know about is how many games that he's been on the active roster,
right,
and if he's been on for enough to eliminate him from practice squad eligibility. I don't know the answer.
And if he
is
still eligible, he'll be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Because he's like they Mr. Patriot in that role.
They love him.
Today he was playing running back because they only had Quentin Smith, so they needed somebody else. So Bam Childress takes
him. Like Mr. Patriot for practice.
Yeah, perfect. They love him.
And I don't think he can make a big impact in the NFL.
No.
Which will we see more of? One, Kyle Brady touchdowns or Steven Gostkowski missed field goals?
Steven Gostkowski missed
field goals.
Really?
Because unless they're from 50-plus, he's been sketchy.
Plus I'm not sure how many. You know, I mentioned that Brady might be a red zone candidate, but I don't think that number will be very high.
Two, Maroney touchdowns or games missed by defensive starters?
Games missed by defensive starters.
Yes. Yeah, easily.
Three, Kevin Falk total yards from scrimmage or Andy Hart Irish jokes?
What was that now?
Really matter? Andy Hart Irish joke's going to win that no matter what it's against.
Right.
Yeah.
Number four, sacks from Colvin and Thomas or
sacks.
Or TDs from Moss, Stallworth, and Welker.
Hang on here.
Sacks from Colvin
sacks.
And Thomas.
I'm going to go with sacks.
Okay.
That's a lot of touchdowns for three
receivers. Finally, Randall Gay interceptions or Ellis Hobbs TDs from kicker interception returns.
I'm going to go with Randall Gay. Randall Gay interceptions?
Or Ellis Hobbs TDs.
I'll take Ellis Hobbs TDs.
I'll take Gay interceptions. I think it's hard to score.
I think we're looking at like nothing.
1-0 could win that easy.
Anyway, thanks for the great coverage and belated congrats to Tom for sealing the deal.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. This is Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. We all knew Sawyer. With all the new additions to the Patriots and the team coverage that I discovered last year in PFW, I've been very excited for the upcoming season. PFW in Progress has become a great source of information to help me be a more informed fan. So, you can imagine my disappointment last week when I tuned in to listen to the show to hear some insight of my beloved Pats, and I found that the show had been changed to PFW Tech Show. As one of the early fans of the week, I was looking forward to your response to my email, but my email wasn't read. probably due to the lack of technical content. Foolish me talked about the Brewski rumor about him being dead. Was only about his career dying. And I asked super kicker Eric why they count punting from the line of scrimmage and not field goals. And I also responded to Tom saying I was G-A-Y when I asked about the advertised Belichick hoodie not being authentic because it didn't have BB. Boy, this Sawyer, he's really upset here.
So Sawyer, how many of your emails have we read and we didn't get to
right,
one of them?
Right.
Uh-oh, Gary's mad.
Now you've done it. You got Gary upset.
I even went so far as to suggest that Tom needs to spend less time with his Jerry Jones blow-up doll and look at the Patriots website. I think I added something about what a travesty it would be if his snuggling pillow, covered with a Cowboys number 22 jersey, somehow covered the end of the tube in his new large nose breathing mask.
It is what it is.
That's not funny. That's why he didn't read it.
And this week I was going
to
say that
where's the other guy? The guy from Seattle? Hey, where's the what's his name? Shannon.
Come
Shannon.
Around, sorry.
Why don't you take care of this guy for me?
And this week I was going to say that you should make PFW Fans of the Week shirts for those who provide lunch, but I could see how none of that is tech-related, and there is no room for that in this show. And I am not sure if this is technical enough for the new PFW Tech Show, but I've heard on sports radio that the referees don't see what we see on instant replay. They had crappy TVs that only had a couple of angles and did not get it to slow it down.
And you're talking about college.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true at all.
Something about wanting to keep it as close to the real play as possible. It was actually worse than what fans saw anyway.
That's entirely not true.
Anyway, I hope
that's what you get in Iowa. Sports radio in Iowa.
I am sure going to miss the football format of PFW. Do you know what Skype is?
Andy, I got two words for this guy, but I don't want to say the first one. Why don't you say it?
You make one slip up in 7 years.
Shannon will take care of him.
How snippy can you get?
Well, that's fine that you're snippy. I don't understand the tech thing. What was that
all about? Remember Fred kept reading questions about
how come the audio is
And then Andy said, isn't this for off the air?
There were some people questioning the podcast. Right.
How do I access download?
As far as the Brewski thing.
God forbid I try to answer an email's question.
Right. But the Brewski thing is intentionally we're not reading because we don't want that kind of ridiculousness.
We don't talk about rumors on this show.
That's right.
I don't know how long it takes news to get to Iowa.
We never talk about rumors.
We pretty much
deal in facts here at PFW.
But we knew that wasn't true. What do you want us to talk about?
Right.
Right. All right. Web radio at patriots.com. Justin from Alaska.
Hey,
one, what do we know about Wesley? Was he a starter in Chicago?
No.
He started 2 games in 5 years.
Two, I would get some PFW in Progress long sleeves tees as long as they don't use the cursive Patriots logo. That one is weak. But you have to put something on it that is an inside joke for the listeners, something a non-listener won't get.
So I guess we're only going to sell 8 of them?
You know what Skype is?
Is that a 22?
We can maybe list a Skype phone number.
Well, Fred's the king of subtle. Remember that whole ticket thing. So he could put something in fluorescent orange on the shirt.
These things are big.
If we just put 21 in a row on the back in fluorescent orange, maybe it'll be subtle.
I'm not in the ticket
meeting. I'm sorry, but I don't think one person realized that ticket had secret
meetings. I never received the tickets.
One person looked at it.
Yeah? Okay.
I
happen to know that every season ticket holder that gets these tickets looks at these tickets very closely.
How do you know that they didn't get it? How do you know they didn't see it?
No, they would have said something, Paul.
Yeah, because you have an open forum with all the season ticket holders, evidently.
You're just jealous. Jealous. Three, give me a second while I compose myself.
Jealous of Jake Steele.
I just watched a recovering crack addict and convicted coke dealer tell his boys not to be like him. I've got some tears to wipe away. Mike, sorry, but I'm not buying the do as I say, not as I did speech when not a year ago there was a crack pipe found in your car. Darn those friends.
Don't be jealous.
That was his cousins.
Right. should we be worried about our tight end situation?
Yes.
Brady, Mills, and Thomas aren't sounding like a good number two to me. Of course, it's early.
So yeah, I think there's some concern there. We talked about it on the top of the show. I mean, there was a lot of injuries concentrated in one area, and Watson has been a guy who has not been the most durable player in his career here. And he's your number one kingpin. If he's, can't really rely on him.
Not the most consistent guy either. I mean, he has had trouble hanging on to the football.
The only thing is, at least he'll be
your main guy.
Should be in, if he's healthy, more of a role that he's suited for rather than last year when everybody thought he was going to catch 90 balls, 25 touchdowns, and be an all-pro.
Yeah.
This year, I think people think he's going to be a tight end and catch
45 balls, you know, maybe 4 or 5 touchdowns. He's more in that role, and he's more likely to succeed in that role with a little bit of a lower expectation. But the other issue is not only are the numbers low, we're already talking about it was going to take 2 guys to fill in for Daniel Graham because he could block and be a very good blocker, or he could catch and be a pretty productive weapon.
At least be a threat.
Now, mm-hmm. Dave Thomas, who's supposed to be the productive weapon of that aspect, is who knows what, not practicing, not showing up anywhere. And the guy who's supposed to be the extra tackle is also not practicing. So, yeah, there's a concern there.
And old, apparently.
And old and creaky.
And yes, it is still early.
And so his body's telling him things.
There's time to remedy that. But
an R. Kelly song?
Bye. All right. Patty from Ireland says, love the show. I'd like to say
drunk.
I think Casale has really stepped his game up this offseason.
It's because you're drunk.
I know a lot of people say he does nothing during the regular season, but this offseason he's been on fire.
People argue you had nothing in the regular season.
Thanks for the compliment, Patty.
Firstly,
when the year's over on Patriots.com, Tom Casale time.
I got another 3 months, and then I'm done.
Firstly, his draft coverage was second to none, and now he's having a great training camp. The man deserves a raise. Also, what's the deal with the leg? He sure does a great job blogging, but he sucks at everything else.
I can tell you're killing on the blog.
And he is nearly as bad as Andy. Speaking of a-hole, that guy just plain sucks. He is a poor man's Paul Perillo.
Hey, that's a shock. He's a homeless man's Paul Perillo.
Even Fred has more football knowledge than that douchebag. Long live King Casale.
No,
screw you, Andy.
Have another, you freaking drunk.
I'm big in Ireland.
All right. Gary, let's take a break.
Beer
we'll be
is.
Right back.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CMS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriots specialty license plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
This is PFW in progress.
Eastbound down, load it up and truck it. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Oh, I love your suits. You must be a bitch getting a size 68 extra fat and a 12 dwarf.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Universal presents Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, Jerry Reed, and Fred.
Paul Perillo.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
And Andy.
What we're dealing with here
is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Andy Hart.
I saw it, you sumbitch! I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
Some guy named Tom.
Jeff, do the letters F-O mean anything to you?
PFW in progress.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder.
All right, back there in PFW progress. You know, at the break, that John Hanna had that commercial. The alumni group is having a big event during the Cowboys away game. You could go up to the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse and watch the game with them. The Lombardi trophies are going to be there. You can get your picture with them. Tickets are only $25.
We'll be home by halftime.
It's a good take. It's a good take. So
going fast too, aren't they?
Go to pay. Yeah.
That's going to be a great game, too.
Patriots.com. Go to the alumni section and you can order your tickets. It's going to be good.
T.O. versus
Moss. Moss has a quarterback.
Yeah. He's got to throw it up to T.O.
T.O. don't.
T.O. better.
T.O.'s got duck boy.
Patriots always have tough games with the Cowboys. You know?
I noticed I was looking at the series thing. They're always low scoring.
Low scoring.
Which is surprising because I think this is going to be a high scoring game.
Yep. All right. Let's see. Nick writes in. He says, hello, gentlemen, and Jake. I haven't written in a while, but I've missed you all, even you, Jake. Tom, and not Jake, tell me about Dante Wesley. Does a cornerback that has zero career interceptions really help the team that much?
The only thing, like I said, I know about him was he was the buzz, one of those buzz guys. There's always like four of them that Mel Kiper and Mayock wasn't around back then, but they're always like, this guy's a sleeper from the small college, blah, blah, blah. And they give you a half grade upgrade of your draft grade if you get him in the fourth round. And that's basically all I know about him. He hasn't played much. He is a big dude, though.
He's jacked. And he looks like Eric Warfield.
Well, that's why I was wondering. You know, he's pretty big. And, you know, you made the comment about Torrey James not really being able to play in the slot. I wonder if he's too big to play in the slot, too.
Could be. I think he's just a special.
I think
teamer.
What we're getting here,
that's,
though, basically,
that's where
is,
I think he is.
Merriweather is going to play corner.
I think Merriweather's been very impressive, and I have no problem with him having a prominent role right now. The way what I've seen in the last 2 weeks, I think he belongs.
He's, you know, who else is impressive?
Very confident out there,
Jimmy Sanders.
Jimmy Sanders he's had a good camp. He's had a good camp. Real good offseason.
He had a great
time. Works hard. One of our offseason award winners.
A guy you like in your system more than when you're trying to decide you want him in your system?
We all like Sanders, and we've talked about him now for a couple of years, but I think that he has been one of the players of camp.
And, Paul, let me ask you. I mentioned this to these guys when the one practice that you missed. Has it kind of been like...
One?
Got to be more specific.
But has it kind of been like, and this isn't a compliment because it's been this way the last two seasons for him, like, where's Eugene Wilson? Again, like, you just, I don't see him. I don't see him doing anything. It's kind of like his play the last couple of years when you're at the end of a game and you're like, did Eugene Wilson play today?
You know, it's funny. I'll say that there's been a couple of plays that I thought, you know, and I wrote about at least two that I can think of, where he comes over and the pass is coming in and he, you know, obviously because it's practice, you know, he ends up pulling up, stops, the guy makes the play, and you say, In a game situation, he may have been able to break up the play and at the very least would have made the guy really pay for the reception. But at the same time, you wonder, based on the last couple of seasons for him, would he have made the play? Would he have prevented the completion? I don't know.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of those, too.
There was one in the stadium yesterday morning where Caldwell caught the pass.
He definitely would have, or
I think
had the opportunity.
I think he breaks that one up.
To get earning a fine. He could have killed him.
And there was one that Kevin Faulk made an unbelievable one-handed catch on a night practice that I was here when Eric was all by himself blogging. And there's no doubt in my mind that he would have absolutely decapitated Faulk on the play.
I can think of a Randall Gay play. I can think of an Ellis Hobbs few plays.
Where they've
done
that.
I can think of James Sanders plays.
That's what
I can think of Rodney Harrison plays.
Where they've broken the play up.
I can't really think of any Eugene Wilson plays from camp.
No, I don't think
I can think of Rashad Baker plays from non-contact minicamp.
Do you want to go into your bird joke now, or do you want me to steal it?
You can go with it.
Okay. Well, last night when he chased the pigeon, he kind of, instead of running after it, he kind of flinched and shied away
like
when he got
scared of it.
So Andy, of course, said, well, how's he going to tackle a person if he's afraid of a pigeon?
He looked just like Paul Perillo in his yearbook shying away
from
contact.
You missed the laugh track, Gary. You got to have the laugh track for that.
Yeah. Shut up.
I was going to say, that was a joke.
Yeah.
I hate you guys. Screw them, Tom. They don't know anything about football.
You got to know something about football to assess pigeon removal.
Speaking of Dante's, how did Dante Stallworth not know he was on PUP? When you heard him say that he didn't know, did that make you think he was on PUP because he failed the conditioning run?
No.
Or simply that it wasn't a serious injury?
It wasn't a serious injury.
Wasn't a serious injury, and communication is not a strength of this administration.
Plus, I don't think it was necessarily meant to be literal.
No,
I think I said
that, Andy.
He didn't know he was on PUP.
No, okay.
Well, plus, we've seen it before. The list that we care about, the players don't care about as much. Because Dante Stallworth looks at it as he has some injury that's keeping him from practicing. He's working with the trainers to get back on the field. And when he's back on the field, he's going to practice. They don't care if they're on a stupid little list or not, like David Gibbons. You're on the injury report. I am. I don't know why I'm on the – they don't put as much stock in these as we do.
Yeah, right? I think the only list they care about being on is injured reserve.
I think it's the paycheck list. As long as that paycheck arrives in their little locker stall, they're fine.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he knew
– especially number 59.
You know, with Stallworth. With Stallworth, I'm not saying he knew, you know, that he was going – the plan was that he was going to start on PUP. But I think that him being surprised – okay, maybe he thought he probably could have practiced. But let's face it, when they inform him he's on PUP, he knows why. It's not
maybe
like –
they didn't inform him.
Well, then how does he know he's on it?
Because somebody said, are you on PUP?
No. Obviously, he had to have been informed. Otherwise, he's out at practice.
I kind of believe somebody called Stallworth and said, you're on PUP.
I just don't think they care. They look at themselves as injured and not ready to practice, not whether they're on PUP, NFI, IR, DNPCD, any of those.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I just don't think it was meant to be taken as literally as that when he said that on Sunday.
Plus, I stand by my original. I'm not sure communication between the decision makers and the players
the whole,
is a strength
like,
of this team.
Well, like you said, maybe they called and left him a message on his cell phone. You know, give me a call back, blah, blah. And they were going to tell him his friend saw it somewhere first, said, did you know you're on PU? You never know how this – I think you're right. I think it
players
was
players are on a need-to-know basis.
I mean, I have nothing to base this on, but I don't buy the whole friend thing for a second. Not at all.
You don't think he has friends?
No, I don't believe that a friend knew that he was on PUP before he did.
I think I buy that.
I don't.
Let's see. Nick is specifically asking Tom what's going on with Bridget Moynihan's baby.
Asking me?
Tom, why don't you handle
that?
Give us an update. Roll with it.
He's asking you, Tom.
Does he mean Tom Brady?
I was going to say Tom Brady or Tom Casale.
No, Tom. Oh, Tom said there was no news on the baby. Oh, so Tom Brady
Tom
said
Brady said,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tom Casale knows nothing about the baby.
A reporter asked Brady at his...
Oh, he actually talked about it?
Well, a reporter asked him, is there any, you know, baby news? And he says, no updates, fellas, no updates.
He's talked about it, actually, every time he's spoken.
He's answered it.
He hasn't
detail,
ignored the questions. He's answered the questions every time they've been asked.
Is this the year that Peyton Manning finally gets the hits that he's been deserving all these years now that Glenn is gone? Do you see him getting hit
deserving
a lot more often without Rhodes to pick up blitzes or Glenn to watch his backside?
Not really.
He'll
quick
be lost.
Release.
He'll be lost without Dominic Rhodes.
His release, he just gets rid of the ball too quickly, I think. He's one of those Marino types where Marino went through different linemen, and he never, even when he was older, he barely got hit. I mean, no one's Marino, but... And this just did. Marino made it into the Hall of Fame, I guess. Showing the ESPN.com, him and Aikman aren't in yet.
Yeah, much to the surprise of ESPN.com. But, you know, we were talking about the Colts, and we've been talking about them all offseason and how none of us really thought, you know, the Jason Davids of the world, the Nick Harpers, or whatever those guys are that they
big
lost.
Big in Tennessee, maybe.
Cato June. We didn't think any of those losses were significant. However, in the last couple of weeks, all of our mindsets have changed.
Yeah.
And when Terry Glenn decided to retire, that's an enormous loss. And you couple that with Booger McFarland being out for the year, well, probably anyway.
Probably, yeah.
Those are two big, big losses. And now you add all those other guys to two what I would consider significant losses. Now their offseason looks that much worse. They're in trouble. I don't think that they are anywhere near ready to defend a title.
Bill Polian was right. This is the Colts' time, but it was a very short time.
Short time.
It's over, Bill.
A year ago at this point, let's be honest.
I'm going to put my brakes on the whole thing to being over because I think as long as they have Peyton Manning, they win 12 or 13 games.
As long as they continue to wipe the field with the Patriots in the regular season.
I don't think they're going to win another Super Bowl.
Even 6 or 7 months ago, we would tell you that Booger McFarland was garbage because he was. But when he got there, something – I don't know what the heck happened with him. But
he played great in the playoffs.
Now, would he have played the same way this year? I don't know, but you have to go by with what we saw in Indianapolis, and he was a huge difference for that team. So taking him off now.
That defense played so amazingly in the playoffs. It took everyone by surprise. Finally, Nick says, thanks, guys. You're doing a great job. I actually really like the addition of Eric to the team. I don't mind that he made up a football career. But Eric... You need to speak into the mic. We can't hear you. Tom, you're still my favorite.
I do speak into the mic. There's technical issues that need
Eric's
to be resolved
a good egg.
Somehow.
Oh, now he's calling Gary out.
Uh-oh, here we
you
go.
You don't speak into the mic.
Wow, that's twice he took his eyes off that solitaire game.
And to defend Gary.
I love you, Gary.
When Eric does speak into the mic, he doesn't really have anything important to say.
Wow.
Or when he blogs.
Well, that's because you're not helping him.
Hey.
Well, Mrs. B.
First of all, you're looking right at me and nowhere near the mic, so they're right. You don't talk into the mic.
Actually, Mrs. B. had a message for you, Gary. She said you got to watch the sound levels on the podcast.
Yeah, and that's your fault.
She said you're doing
largely
a terrible job.
Because when you read the emails, you don't talk into the mic. Well,
yeah, the whole problem here is Fred Kirk. Let's be honest. Let's get off Gary for a second, as fun as it is to get on him. The problem here is Fred Kirk, because everyone who listens to the podcast says the same thing.
Yep.
You all sound one way. Fred Kirk sounds another.
They either can't hear you or you blow their eardrums out. That's
I wonder why.
As he chomps down his potato chips.
Yeah.
He's got evidently he's still not ready to fire back.
Shane in Miami says, I notice that the Pro Shop often advertises Rashad Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney jerseys at regular price, no less. A few weeks ago, I imagined that Ken Flanders...
Why wouldn't they be at regular price? They're on the team.
A few weeks ago, I imagined that Ken Flanders was probably peeved with you guys. Nobody wants to buy a jersey of a player who will probably not make a team. Doesn't help Mr. Flanders' monthly sales quota. But now, with your recent glowing reviews of both receivers' play, those jerseys, I'm sure, are flying out of the Pro Shop. You guys should get some commission for helping him out.
I don't think it makes a difference one way or another. I turned to Andy the other day, I think it was you, and I said, let's be honest, why would you buy a Wes Welker jersey if you were a Patriots fan? He's had one pretty decent year. He's done nothing for the team. Now, you're talking about a team with Harrison,
Seymour, Brady,
all those guys. And I see people wearing Wes Welker jersey. So basically, you're going to buy the jersey of the guy you like. If you like Caldwell that much, you'll buy it. It has nothing to do with what we say.
Right.
But I just think on a team of stars, I find it funny that I'm seeing a bunch of Wes Welker jerseys around. I know, I mean, Fred,
people
I understand,
like
I understand you're wearing one.
Well, I can't give Tom the answer I gave him in the tent when he posed this to me.
Nor can I.
So you have the same answer, I take it.
Yes.
But Brady.
Now, I know a lot of people have Brady jerseys, but you're looking at Moss.
What was Brady's a superstar.
He's the best-dressed man in the world.
He's won three Super Bowls.
I heard that.
I mean, I would rather have a Vrabel jersey.
Which I don't really
Vrabel's
understand.
Done a lot for this team.
Do you understand that? I mean, best-dressed man in the world. I mean, we are on the road with this guy 10 times a year. He wears suits.
Well,
they're nice suits.
Well,
slightly
but
better
than
you don't think it has
I
something
am?
To do with the supermodel on his arm?
No, but also they said it has something to do with the Super Bowl rings, you know. So they're adding it all. It's a joke. I mean, obviously, you can't take it seriously, Paul.
But it involves, like, actors and regular people. It's not a joke.
Oh, that's my bad. I thought it was serious.
Yeah, it is serious.
Yeah, but it's not to be taken, you know. It's just publicity. It's creating.
Are you sure about that?
Because
I thought it was a serious list.
That's my bad then. Never mind.
You know. They,
wait a minute.
They
You're
going to
stop because Fred told
when
you something?
I don't know.
They even said when you add in the supermodel girlfriend and the Super Bowl rings, that puts them over the top. So,
you know, I mean, for example, we go on the road. There's 53 guys. Okay, they're all in suits.
Right. Well,
I say 45 of them.
Some.
I would say 45 of them look pretty much the same. And there's a handful that, you know,
stand out in either direction.
Yeah, they either have these outrageous colored suits
Antoine
and look
Smith.
Funny, or they're underdressed.
Right. Dylan, the offensive.
But I don't see much difference between Brady and Harrison or
right.
Brabel or
well,
any of the other
guys.
But
Tom Brady,
regular suits.
Oh,
it starts out
I can
at Tom
guarantee
Brady.
You that Brady's clothes are absolutely tailored.
Oh, I'm sure they are, but I'm sure he's not the only one.
No, but he wears it well.
Well, I mean, you know, besides your little
well, you know who else was very, very well
I don't
dressed?
Know what to say.
Wes Welker?
No, Vinny Testaverde looks very good in
didn't
his
last
suit.
Time I saw him, he had one of those, like,
hats?
Italian hats
yeah.
on. He
right.
looked like he was in the mob.
Well, but he wears nice suits.
All right.
You know.
I thought he looked a bit ridiculous.
I'm not trying to say that Brady's not a well-dressed guy. I just am surprised that
and he does
a list would find him
try to be fashionable.
Best-dressed person in
the He makes
the
an effort. Like, sometimes, a lot of the home press conferences, when he's done, he'll have a sports coat with a hooded sweatshirt and some kind of hat. And, I mean, if you like that kind of thing, I guess he's being fashionable or different. That's
sports
when I noticed
coat.
It more.
He definitely
had a sports coat with a hooded sweatshirt and then a hat on.
You know what I was thinking? I could care less if Tom Brady's the best dressed guy.
ESPN Sports Center went with the worst dressed, and Bill Belichick was number one. Okay. But they kind of forced it because I think they
wanted Mike Nolan, by the way, on that list.
Yeah.
As worst dressed?
As worst
dressed?
No,
best.
In the world?
Well, one of the top 23 best dressed
now
guys
Fred's
in the world.
Now Fred's offended.
Why did he have 23, by the way? Was that to pay homage to Michael Jordan?
Maybe it was a joke. I don't know.
I'm not buying the whole joke thing like you are.
Eric writes in.
I don't know.
Neither does Fred. He's just saying it.
Who do you think will be returning punts and kickoffs on Friday, and is there going to be a training camp practice open to the public on Sunday? Yes, there is.
It's not going to be open to the public.
It's not open to the public?
No, not on Sunday.
Soccer game.
Okay, so there's not going to be one.
Yeah, matter of fact, that's going to be a lot of fun for us on Sunday.
2:30, right?
Why, what's wrong?
That's the Beckham game.
Yeah, he's not playing or coming.
Yeah, the pseudo Beckham game. We don't know.
Man.
I could run into Posh Spice.
Also, what is Bill looking for in the first preseason game? Thanks for the blogs and the Wednesday show.
Who's going to return punts and kicks on Friday?
I say Bam Childress.
Bam Childress, yep.
Jamara Williams.
Yeah. Jamara Williams has been playing pretty good, I think, for a guy who's kind of a nobody. You know, I mean, no offense, but I mean, someone who
I'm
you
sure,
don't
expect sure the Orientals.
No, but no offense. I'm just saying he's somebody who you don't think's ever going to do anything, but he's been making some picks. He's been returning kicks out there. Caught my eye a little
I
bit.
I think he might be back there a little bit. I think Willie Andrews might get a shot here or there. I would be surprised to see any of the big guns in a preseason game. You know, Hobbs and Maroney and guys like that. Welker probably be back. Maybe getting a punt.
Yeah.
Here or there. You know, I'm not sure.
I say he gets 9.6 yards.
Yeah. Well.
Maybe Willie Andrews. No.
Did you hear me?
Thanks for coming, Fred.
Did you say Willie Andrews?
I did.
Okay. He just said that. You dumb dago.
All right. Dave from Cambridge says that Chris Collinsworth is an idiot. His comments on the NFL Network from the Steelers-Saints game confirm it. He said the teams in the AFC North should be worried because the Steelers are amazing and the other teams had better look out. This from watching one or two series in an exhibition game in early August.
Maybe he just thinks that.
I was going to say, I'm not an idiot, and therefore I do not watch preseason football on TV. But might he just think that the Steelers have a pretty good roster and likes Mike Tomlin and thinks that they're a team to be reckoned with?
They do have a pretty good roster.
And it had absolutely nothing to do with what he saw in the first
Anyway, he says he's a former professional football player, and I'm a fan sitting on my couch, and I realize that we're looking at here a preseason game with no game plan and with a handful of starters trying not to get injured. This has no bearing whatsoever as to what we'll see in the regular season. To hear Collinsworth, you would think it represents the Steelers' entire season, and they should make room for another Lombardi Trophy. I would expect it from Tony Kornheiser, whom I think represents a typical knee-jerk fan, but not a former NFL player. The guy's an idiot.
I don't think anyone really puts any stock into preseason games. It was obvious the Steelers were trying to establish something in that game. The Saints didn't care. They mentioned in that game that the Saints last preseason looked terrible. Terrible. And they came out and went to the NFC Championship game. I just think when you look at the Saints, their problem is defensively, they haven't really upgraded. They spent their draft picks on offense, which none of us could understand on draft day.
Boy, that kid got lit up in that game. I saw one of the highlights.
Oh, yeah.
Meacham.
And defensively, they're still about the same where they were last year, so now you got to hope to outscore teams again. But you look at the Steelers roster, top to bottom, they're pretty good.
It's a pretty good team.
If it's not going to go as poorly as it did last year.
No, yeah. Everything went wrong for
them. Every break that went the other way.
Right, and you think back to what Roethlisberger went through, and you know, I'm not saying a lot of it he brought on himself, but to come off that motorcycle accident and then have an appendectomy, I mean, that's not a typical preseason regimen for a quarterback. If Tomlin's defense, you know, the whole thing with his, you know, tendency to go to the Tampa 2 and the cover 2 and all that stuff, can mesh at all with LeBeau's 3-4, you know, zone blitz kind of scheme. If they can find a way to get a happy medium and put together a defense there, I agree with Tom. I think that's a roster that has a lot of talent on it. And I, from everything that we've read about Tomlin, people are coming away very impressed with him.
Everybody who meets him says the same thing.
Except those of us that watched him coach the defense for the Vikings.
Right.
And still, though, we don't know.
Maybe that's
who's the problem there.
You know?
And the other thing is, can we get past the idea that because a guy played football, he's going to be this great analyst?
there's plenty of ex-football players who are total morons.
But I think Collinsworth is pretty good, actually.
I hate him. I'm not talking specifics. I'm saying because a guy played in the league has no bearing on the intelligence that he brings to a broadcast.
I'm not talking about as a person or as a personality or whatever. I think that he comes across as a smug know-it-all. I don't like him at all.
I hated him when he played, and
I wonder
hate
him I like him.
I don't like him at
I don't
all.
I think he's that
but
bad.
I think as an analyst.
I agree with Andy.
I disagree totally.
I think
my
opinion.
As an analyst, I think that
I don't
he's very
aligned
good.
With Eric.
Yeah, he's, very good. I don't like him very much, but I think as an analyst.
I think he's honest.
He's good.
I think he's insightful. I think he pays attention. I think he's all right. He's not
I give him added points for carrying that Bryant Gumbel last year.
Oh, God, and this year, he's still bad. Paul, if Collinsworth was doing the Redskins-Patriots game from last year, I'm sure the fans would have the same reaction, you know, because
that's another whole argument.
Talking about how great the Patriots are from a preseason game, because I know when the emails we got after that game. So preseason is useless.
I think the preseason is totally useless, and Tom is right with his commentary from last week. They need to get rid of two of the games.
Let's see. Emailer versus emailer hate. Andy just hit himself in the face with his microphone. Good job. Matt from Springfield, he has some more fan versus fan hate. Along with your video webcast, in which I agree with, you should have a monthly fan versus fan cage match. Oh, I will obliterate this no sense of humor fool, Josh from Arlington.
Fool.
Then tie him up and make nookies with his wife right in front of him.
Whoa.
Is
this a poor man's Tom Casale?
Please note that this guy only writes emails in response to mine. Never to talk about football, which I have plenty of time. I wrote in about getting free food all in fun, jokingly, and just a tickle to the gut to the people fighting in line to do so. Josh is studying past episodes from Family Guy, Ding, Fries Are Done, and dusts off his thesaurus just to find new words like asshat to construct his masterpiece email.
Asshat's in the thesaurus.
The guy's probably 56 with nothing better to do.
Wow. Boy, our emailers really going at it.
I know.
You know, I have a question for the emailers. The Boxboroughs, did you guys meet through our show? Ben and Craig from Boxborough. Did you know each other before the show, or did
PFW
you actually meet?
Bringing people together.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested to know that.
Yeah, inquiring minds want to know.
PFW Harmony over here.
All right.
We are not having a good show because no one's writing and yelling at us. What are we doing wrong?
Pratt from Germantown, he says, and that's in Maryland, thanks for your continued blog entries that keep us fans up to date on everything, especially to Tom, you know, Casale. He's the man. Guys, go easy on Eric. He's a nice guy. As a Pats fan, I welcome you, Eric. And thanks for anything and everything you do to contribute in updating
thanks
us.
Thanks for anything you do.
I don't like you.
I have a question. I know sometime now I've noticed that the FoxSports.com Patriots page has tight end O.J. Santiago. If you guys go there now, it'll be there. I did not see him on the Pats roster on other sites, including the Patriots.com. Is he at all associated with the team in any way? Because I can't remember seeing him playing a down last year.
Paul?
No. O.J. Santiago was on the roster about 3 years ago for like 3 days. He never played a game.
Is there any chance
that was last year,
he's
actually.
That was
no,
last year. Retired and didn't file
O.J. Santiago was on the team last year?
He signed a contract last year like on a Monday or a Tuesday. He was in practice for like 3 days and then was cut before the game.
You're right.
Boy, am I getting old.
But you are right.
I thought that was at least 3 years
ago. He's not any type of
active roster right now. He's not associated with the team.
They did sign him.
I remember when they signed him. I just thought it was 3 years ago. I'm just getting ridiculously old.
Yeah, well, that's
true, too. I didn't think it was last year either.
Yeah.
Actually, Josh has just written in, but not in response to the last email, so it must have come just before. But he says about Collinsworth, he said it's even worse than what the other emailer said. He said he actually said during that game sometime in the first quarter, just over a year ago, Roethlisberger was the best QB in the NFL. I almost threw up. I don't give a crap if they had just won the Super Bowl at that point. He wasn't even top five in the NFL. I was not surprised, however, as Gumbel and Collinsworth have been basically unbearable the entire time they've been broadcasting NFL Network games.
He's right.
Well, I disagree with that, too.
He's right.
I think last year at this time, Roethlisberger was a top five quarterback.
Oh, come on. he lucked out being on that team the year they won it all.
I think he was good. I don't think anybody could have just won Brady a Super Bowl, a top much five? Like I don't think just anybody could have won the 2001 Super Bowl.
In the first year that Brady won the Super Bowl with the Patriots, was he a top five quarterback in the NFL?
No.
Not that first year.
I think he was very similar to Roethlisberger in what he did for his team in the first year.
I think Roethlisberger did far more than Brady did.
I don't think so. I think they both managed the game well and didn't lose games.
That's your opinion.
You think Roethlisberger did more?
My opinion was Roethlisberger did a lot more for the 2005 Steelers than Brady did for the 2001 Patriots.
Okay.
And I also don't think that just anybody could have done what Brady did. I think Brady did a lot.
Okay. Let's see.
Right now, Roethlisberger is not a top 15 quarterback.
So you go from top five to...
Yeah, when you throw 85 interceptions and look that bad, yes, you do. You drop down the ranks a little bit.
Okay. Let's see.
He was awful last year. That he may have been the worst starting quarterback in football last year.
He definitely had a tough
year. And he didn't do anything in the Super Bowl, really, to help them win either. You know, I mean, he wasn't the reason they won that year.
That's one game.
No, but
he was the reason they were there.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, again, that's your opinion.
Denver might say differently because they didn't start running the ball.
When he absolutely torched them the whole game?
In the first half, they just opened up.
Did the same thing against Indy, by the way, in the playoff game 2 weeks before.
The best thing he did.
And if it wasn't for Bill Cowher being too conservative down the stretch of that game, they would have won that game by four touchdowns.
The best thing
Roethlisberger
did that year to help his team win was to tackle whoever the D-back was on
the
Colts.
Thing he did.
That was the best thing he did. That was the best thing he did because if he doesn't do that, the Colts win that game and Steelers don't win the Super Bowl.
And if Bill Cowher doesn't run the ball instead of letting Roethlisberger throw it, they win the game by four touchdowns.
Mrs. B
Eric,
writes
don't
in.
Stop. Go back at him. You don't know how it works here. Keep going.
Mrs. B writes in, catching the show live for a change today. What I said the other night about the sound levels refers to listening to the show via podcast.
Gary,
Fred, Andy, and Tom are really loud, and Paul and Eric whisper. So when plugged in with earbuds, you get blasted out if you turn it up to hear what they say when the loud ones cut in and comment. Save the file as a WAV file, Gary, and run through a free program called Levelator before throwing it up on the feed.
All I
can say is people have had made a lot of comments about me, Fred, over the last 9 years that we've been doing this stuff, and not all of them have been good. Matter of fact,
drying,
most of them
growing.
Haven't been. No one has ever accused me of whispering.
No.
So if people can't hear me, there's something wrong with the mic level.
Right.
Because I'm always yelling.
So it goes back to Gary.
Yeah. I say we blame it on Chris Ferreira.
Chris.
It's Chris's fault because he's the one who would be making it a wave and running it through some program and
I just
leveling.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
I like bringing it all back to the wheel up there.
He's flipping you off as we speak.
Kids asleep at the wheel. All he's worried about is getting free food out of the press box and taking it home with him.
Let's see. V. Shire says, did I hear someone asking where Patrick Cobbs was?
Every line he says. See, I had the fun.
What's that not
funny?
Did I hear someone asking where Patrick Cobbs was?
Yeah,
why?
He just washed my car.
If you're looking for him, he's on the Dolphins roster posing as a running back. In the future, if anyone is looking for an active NFL player, go to NFL.com, select players from the header menu, and in this case, select the letter C, and scroll down to Cobbs.
Is this from Ireland?
This brain surgery was brought to you by the letter C, no charge.
We're on the air because we have actual jobs, so we're not in front of a computer right now. Fred is. I don't care where Patrick Cobbs is. My point is that he stinks. He's never played in the NFL, and he never will play in the NFL. I don't care what roster he's on. The guy's a bum. And you people emailed in saying, let's trade Kevin Faulk. Like, Kevin Faulk's not a big part of the Patriots.
And we're on the air, so I can't call you what I really want to call
right.
you right now.
Let's take a break.
You did it before, so.
When you've got a lineman size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, gotta be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's going to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin. Wow.
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Okay, back here in PFW in progress. A lot of yelling and screaming going on during the break here.
People aren't happy with each other.
No. A lot of fighting, infighting going on here. Gary's yelling at everybody. Everybody's yelling at Gary. People are yelling at Eric. Eric's yelling.
I'm just wondering why Mrs. B is running a professional podcast and we can't.
All right.
Tick, tick, tick.
Gary's going to throw me out of here soon, I think so.
Steven Faque Varina. Uh-huh. Says, I've been checking the blog every day and appreciate the info. From the blog, I'm getting an impression that Pierre Woods is coming on strong. I love to follow the rookie's progress. So can Tom give us
He's
a rundown
a
on Oskaluwa, Justin Rogers, and Kareem Brown? And also, does Eric Alexander look better than last year? How about Rashad Moore, the free agent from the Jets?
I don't know anything about Kareem Brown. Oskaluwa is slow. Very slow, especially initially off the ball. I know it's a nice story, the Brewski thing, the
Read it
Seau
this week
thing.
In PFW.
I understand that. I don't know if he can play. He looks like us, Andy, I think you said it first, about a half step faster than Freddie Roach. So I'm concerned. I'm not the only one who's concerned. There's other people out at practice concerned about that as well. And who's the, Justin Rogers, we already talked about.
How about Pierre Woods? What's your impression?
I like him.
I like
he's
Pierre, too.
He's shown some flat.
He's
got
made
that,
progress.
He's got that initial burst off the ball, like in those pass rushing drills that they do when he's beating Sammy Morris. He's just got that initial burst, goes right by him. That's tough to teach. So if he can learn the defense and stuff, he could be a contributor down the road.
Eric Alexander doing anything?
He's had the red no-contact jersey, so it's kind of hard for him to stick his nose in there and make any kind of plays, but...
Kevin from Richmond, Virginia, also tells us that Patrick Cobbs is on Miami's roster. Great job on almost everything else. By the way, is Chad Jackson ever going to amount to anything?
Well, I think we have to wait and see.
Yeah.
He hasn't really had a chance.
He hasn't been on the field yet this year, so we can't even see if he was able to make any kind of progress in terms of the playbook or anything like that.
But if we were going to say, and Andy, I know you're going to get on me, but if you look at the guys just looking at them and you say, who looks like an NFL like Pro Bowl receiver, it's Chad Jackson. I mean, he's got the physical build for it. He's supposed to have the speed and the ability. So if he can ever tie it all together, I still think he can be productive.
And, he had an injury-shortened first year. He's obviously starting this year injured. But how many rookie wide receivers have that much of an impact? Very few. So even if he weren't injured all last year, he probably wouldn't have done all that much anyway. So you're looking at this year or next year for him to develop anyway. So give him time.
Okay. Christy says she's a Wrentham native transplanted down in D.C. Very excited to have the website and the blog to keep me updated on the training camp goings on. Thanks for all the hard work. However, Unless I missed something, I haven't heard any word about Randy Moss's injury other than the fact that he hasn't been practicing. I know Belichick likes to keep injuries pretty hush-hush, but is there any indication from sources on the team about how serious this might be? Is he expected to miss any playing time? Or do you think Randy was just getting a little sick of two-a-days, so he tweaked a hammy?
That's it. I think that's it. Well, he's already missed about a week, right?
Yeah.
So he's missed playing time. He's missed about a week.
And he won't play Friday.
I wouldn't expect to see him in the preseason opener for sure. You know, beyond that, who knows?
And Christy also wants to know if Chris Ferrer is the same person she grew up with in Norfolk. And
God, I hope so.
Is he about 28 years old? No, Chris is like 50, right?
Chris. And he's from Massachusetts, so.
Yeah, have you ever
Norfolk is
so small.
Norfolk, Virginia.
Mass, you were right the first time.
She means Norfolk, Mass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that where he's from?
I don't know.
We're going to ask when we get back up
He lives around the Worcester area.
Christy, have you ever seen him sucker punch anybody? Because if you have, you can describe him.
That's him.
Fitchburg.
He got into a lot of bar fights as a youth.
And surprisingly, he didn't win many of them.
Right.
The Chris Ferrer we know, we think, from Fitchburg.
I think he lives in Fitchburg, doesn't he?
Now
he grew up in Bill Ricka.
Yeah, but is he 28?
No, I think
he's older.
I think he might be a little older than that.
Like 50.
God, don't let his wife hear this show. Another girl asking about Chris Ferrer, that's a beating when he gets home. I'm going to get it upstairs now.
Craig from Boxborough. Answer to your question, do the Boxborough boys know each other? He says, yes, Tom, we did know each other prior to the show. Now on to other matters. What did you guys think of B-Lo on Fox Sports Network?
Oh, can we talk about something serious, please?
Well, let's talk about something relevant.
Seriously.
I didn't see it, nor will I ever.
All right. Let's
Silly me, I chose to watch the Red Sox game with Curt Schilling making his return.
Mike says, what are you guys looking forward to on Friday? Getting home.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right again.
The business.
The preseason games
I'm
are
looking
just
forward
about
to not having to work at 4:30 in the morning.
But you're looking at a couple, like a Pierre Woods, you know, maybe someone like that in his second year to see if
I don't even know if I could feign one of those.
Lua. I think this is a game situation. Find out if Lua has anything.
Castle's a big one.
Merriweather.
And the punters. You guys wanted to see Bogger if he would perform well
in
a game situation.
Yeah. I just want to see him get hit. I want to see these guys make tackles. I haven't seen a tackle all pre-training camp.
Right tackle.
I want to see some
tackles. Who's playing win at right tackle.
The wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm sick of them.
NFL Network had a Green Bay Packer
intra-squad
scrimmage on the other night, and I was watching that just to see some people being tackled. Oh,
so now you're watching other teams that are bad with bad coaches, but you're questioning what Bill Belichick does.
I haven't seen a tackle all Patriots.
This is the new Fred. Now he's questioning Belichick.
So now Mike McCarthy is the best coach in football because he's been wearing the hell out of his players.
No, he's the best coach in football because he gives his people Fridays off.
Well, that's true.
Is that what he did?
Remember, he wanted a family atmosphere, so he let all the employees leave at 1 o'clock. That's not good.
I'd like to see the day where Belichick lets us out at 1 o'clock. Around here.
I was saying to Andy the other day, wouldn't it be funny if you were like sitting in a press conference and you just asked one of those questions you know he never answers, and he just went into, Randy, he's got a little tear. You know, he's going to be out for about a month. Can you imagine the looks on everybody's face?
I was listening to the NFL channel last night on Sirius, and they were doing it live from Broncos training camp, and they had Mike Shanahan on.
And he has a 1 centimeter tear. They were given the length of the tear of Moss's tear, right?
Well,
Jarvis Moss.
Moss talking about hair. That, but he's talking about some other guys, and I'm not a doctor or anything, but this is what the doctors are telling
right.
me.
Right, right. Andy Reid does the same thing.
Yeah. Hmm. So it was very different, you know.
It's interesting. Back-to-back Super Bowl titles.
Well, that's when they had John Elway.
Andy Reid went to 4 NFC championship
games. Dave Campo could win back-to-back with John Elway.
And this guy has Tom Brady.
Well, Dan Reeves didn't.
What's the difference?
Because he never used them.
In fact, I think Fred wrote about that in this week's edit letter.
Dave Campo couldn't win nothing. Don't ever say that again. Or I'm going to stick this inside you. Gary, that's got to be a sound bite.
Can you describe this?
Tom's got a pair of pliers.
I got a pair of pliers in my hand.
Sure, that's what you meant.
Tom, very, very touchy about his Dallas Cowboys.
No, I just don't like Dave Campo. I don't like people who get jobs who shouldn't have one. In other words, Wade Phillips.
Oh, I thought you were going Tom Casale. Degrees optional.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Gary's looking for a Red King right now. Matt in Quincy says, I don't know if you guys already covered this, and I don't want to piss off Scalavino, but if you had to guess after almost 2 weeks of camp, who are the established veterans who are in danger of getting cut? My picks are Izzo, Miller, Hochstein, and Murchaburchaburcher. I guess I spelled it right.
Murchaburchaburcher is an established veteran?
He's not an established veteran, but he's definitely in danger of getting cut.
Yes. Miller and Hochstein, I like.
Andy actually brought up Hochstein earlier in camp, and I think that he is right on in terms of that. Now, one thing that may have been thrown into the mix here is, I know that you didn't read about it on the blog, but Billy Yates left practice the other night.
Get out of here.
And if he hasn't been back since. If he's injured seriously, I think he was a guy that was pushing for one of those backup interior spots. So that could give Hochstein a reprieve.
Any others? But add to the list.
Who was the first one? Izzo, I don't think has a chance. I don't think he has any chance of getting cut.
Get that feature done, Tom.
Yeah, I don't think.
No, Izzo's not going.
You know, I know
he lost.
I know Bill Belichick
can't take away
all the players equally when it comes out to making the best decision for the team. But I can't see him ever cutting Larry Izzo.
No, and
can see him sitting him down in the offseason and saying,
"I don't
Larry,
think that would be in the best interest of the team."
No,
right? And he's a captain.
He's a captain.
You don't treat a captain.
He can still play.
He's still productive.
Yeah, exactly.
And they lost Banta Kane and Dunn. I mean, they are a team that generally has two to three special team aces.
If Mel Mitchell came on, you know, if there are guys that could replace,
yeah, but you still need like three.
But I think it would be hard.
Plus, he's a backup linebacker.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
He plays in their goal line.
It would be hard for me to believe that they suddenly had two or three or four guys emerge as pure special teamers that are better than Larry Izzo, even right now.
And, you know, actually, Mike Reese was asking us downstairs, who do you think will be the surprise cut? And I said to Andy,
And he knows already.
And it's Fred Kirsch.
His former boss.
I don't know if there's going to be too many surprise cuts because we already kind of know most of the roster.
Yeah.
They're only battling for this roster is so deep with veteran-type guys now. I just don't know if you're going to see the big-name cut that you'd normally see. I mean, Kelly Washington would probably be the biggest one, and we've kind of been saying that for weeks.
Yeah.
And
I don't want since we saw him at minicamp, and he just wasn't very
impressive.
He's
done nothing since. But I don't want to speak for the other guys. I think the veterans in danger you're going to see are in the season. You're going to see some guys that have fallen off that aren't the same. The Brewskis, the Vrabels, the Harrisons, that maybe they're going to – you're really – next year, if they're still battling, could be a year they get cut because it seems to be some inkling that those guys are losing it a little bit.
This team be lucky to win six games, according to Andy
Hart. Shut up.
Everything but Patriots.com. All right.
James Sanders doing a phenomenal job out there. Listen to the podcast yesterday. I was Mr. Positive. Tom was ripping him.
Eric from Manchester, New Hampshire. Okay, the Pats game versus Giants, true or false, it will only – be on NFL Network. My buddy, who's too cheap to get it, says it will be on a local channel, Boston, also. Please settle this for me. I say it's exclusive to NFL Network that night. No.
It will be on a local Boston
channel. It has
channel.
To be. It's just like when games were on ESPN at night. The local market always has to have it on air, on a broadcast.
But that's only the local market.
Just the local market.
Yeah, and where's he from? Is he in the local market?
He's from Manchester, New Hampshire. Now, he may not get it.
See, I think he would.
But I think he probably gets
WCVB.
Yeah.
But it could be blacked out. Is it beyond 75 miles? Does that have this rule?
No.
He would get it on Channel 4, though. Right,
I think it's Channel 5.
I think Manchester falls in the DMI there, so I think he's all right.
What the hell's a DMI?
That? It's the radius that you were just talking about. That's just the technical TV.
Well, I don't think that's within 75.
I thought it was that weight thing that said I was morbidly obese.
That's BMI.
That's BMI, yeah.
Well, he doesn't. As long as he can get the broadcast,
I think he'll be okay.
Oh, you're talking about over the air?
Yeah.
Like an antenna? Who uses antenna these days?
I'm just saying that
most people use
New Hampshire,
cable.
Obviously.
Is that the guy with the dial-up internet?
If he gets Channel 5 on his cable system.
Well, they black things out sometimes.
They could black it out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see blackouts occasionally with cable. It happens a lot with, like,
so
the Red
unknown.
Sox.
I mean,
and
Eric,
if
you lived in the Boston area, you would absolutely, for certain, be able to see it on a local channel. Manchester,
you're in the
New
DMI.
Hampshire, maybe not. I don't know. That's a good question.
How far is Manchester?
Unfortunately, we can't settle.
Now this guy's going to go to MapQuest and goes, anyone who wants to know can put in Boston or New Hampshire.
It's about an hour away.
Less than an hour.
But that's definitely more than 75 miles from Foxborough.
From Foxborough?
From Foxborough, but is it?
Yeah.
Is the DMI from Boston or Foxborough?
That was going to be my question.
And what does DMI mean? You never answered
it. I told
you. It's the little circle. What does D, the M, and the I stand for?
I don't know what the acronym means. That's
Gary.
We only ever use that.
Gary's a media guy. What's DMI?
No idea.
Okay. Did you get that, King?
Is this like his football career? It doesn't really exist.
Brad, that was all.
Brad, the only thing I would say is this, and I know the boys here are kind of discussing it now. You can't. I like to take on battles like anyone else. You can't beat the NFL. You can't beat cable. Pay the $7. Take away Cinemax or something. If you want to watch football, they have you by the
Cinemax.
They have you by the you know whats. If you want to watch the NFL Network, if you want to watch those games, pay the $7. Get it because there's nothing else we can do right now.
Right.
They do have you by the you know whats.
Yeah. Tom's right, and that's
but
why
it's
I'll,
cable, not
I'll,
the internet. Right?
I'll get
I mean,
it.
Not the NFL, right?
Well, whatever
well,
it takes to get
cable
it, I think it's a little bit of both.
I think it's a little bit of both.
It's both because it was something that the NFL made the cable companies do that cost the cable companies more money to get it on a particular tier. So
it's the
one
ESPN
hand.
Thing.
Right. They have
the
to pay
NFL
for it.
Is charging a lot of rights to the cable, and they're saying,
and
well, if you're charging us that, we're making that back and putting you on a pay network.
Exactly.
So the NFL actually fought being on a pay tier because they wanted to be available to anyone who had cable. They want
but it's
the
costing
local.
The cable company more because
so
of
the
NFL.
Cable that's
so
you buy the nuts.
Well, I think it's both.
Because I think the NFL is making a mistake. I think they should be too. On, like ESPN, you just get the thing and it's on. Because if you want to grow your network, that's the way to do it. Then in a year or so, if you want a couple years, if you want to go to pay.
That's my problem with it. I don't think the channel is very good. I'm only getting it because they have a game every week late in the year that you wouldn't be otherwise be able
to
get.
Well, I mean,
get.
They've got the nightly show, which is pretty good.
I don't like it.
Yeah, you don't like it?
I don't like this
the Rich
show.
Eisen show.
I don't like Rich Eisen. Doesn't like the – I don't know if you've seen it or you don't like it. I enjoy their highlight show compared to ESPN's where they do the game – all the game breakdown.
Right.
I like that. I think Deion Sanders is very good in that role, and I enjoy watching that, so I watch that too. But it's not like I'm watching it 24 hours a day.
When it first came on, I have to admit I was – oh, this is the greatest thing since.
Yeah, because it was football.
But now I'm kind of like, eh.
I just think it seems like everything's just repeated so much. It's just
they repeat
well,
a lot of
more
stuff.
Content. They need more content.
And
it's
the,
like
and
when
the highlight thing
first started, you know.
And the highlight thing, I actually like Tom Jackson doing it, so I watch the primetime.
Yeah, me too.
So I like that on ESPN.
Let's see. Scott from Washington, D.C.
Scott, we haven't heard from him in a
long
time.
Yeah, he says, long time no email. So besides Brandon Merriweather, do any other rookies make this team? If so, which ones? Maybe Mike Elgin, if the Yates injury is a bad one. Maybe Oskaluwa, just curious.
I would say maybe Oldenburg, even though I don't know if he's doing well or not.
I'm going to say yes, but I'm not going to be able to tell you.
Well, the lineman from Miami.
Three. I'm going to say three make it. The two Miami guys and one other guy. That's my guess.
Yeah. And I certainly don't put Kareem Brown in a lock category,
no,
especially in light of his.
I bet three make it, but I'm not sure Kareem Brown
is open.
A lock to be one of the three.
Yeah,
I think Merriweather's a lock.
I would be surprised, however, if they just cast them aside. I think that they would probably find a way to try
find
to hold
a way
on
to what?
Them. Put them on the practice squad. Something where you stash them on a list somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that. I mean. Who knows? We haven't seen a whole lot of them play, but I doubt that they would just sit there and say, wow, this guy's a total bust. He can't play, and he's gone.
You might see a Mike Richardson, something
Richardson.
Like that, make the team.
Richardson's a
special
teamer,
depth in the secondary.
I think he's
although,
a candidate.
But I will say that Richardson, the shine of Richardson has kind of gone off the
– Bloom is off the road?
Yeah, he hasn't now that he's getting on the field more against some of those receivers, and Reese, when I was talking to him again, made a good point. And it's a totally different thing because one's a first round pick and one's
like
a sixth.
Like the olive branch was
talks
extended.
To him a lot
it's
for a guy that.
What's going on?
I think it's great. I think it's heartwarming
when you see Merriweather play.
What's going on?
You see, you see the talent, you see the quickness, and then when you see Richardson, you're kind of like, that's why he was the sixth round.
I lost all any interest in him really when his coach told me. He works hard. He's a smart player. And never when he was working his way down the list did he get to, like,
talent.
NFL talent.
I haven't really necessarily seen what I've read a lot about him sticking out in camp so far. I haven't seen what everybody else has been writing about him.
He had a pick yesterday.
I think what people
I read that, but, we all
that was
talk about picks and how they come
out. Terribly thrown pass by Matt Castle.
I think one of the reasons they're saying a lot about it is because of the – perceived lack of depth at the position
the
with
Notre
a certain
Dame,
somebody
Notre
not
connection,
right.
Pro defense,
exactly.
Whatever they're doing. The guy was
with the fans, with a lot of players, they don't know. They look for that connection, like Oscar Lua with the Teddy Bruschi, mm-hmm. Junior Seau. When, in all honesty, Oldenburg's probably the guy who has the best chance of making the roster.
I don't think it'll be Elgin, because I don't think he has the NFL build right now.
Plus, they're so deep in the inside of that line.
So hard for him to.
We're talking about Holstein getting
developmental. Guy.
I think he's an ideal practice squad candidate because he needs to get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do on that development program that they have.
I think Oldenburg's
kind
of the same too, a developmental Tom Ashworth type, as we've said.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, there's probably
maybe they don't want to risk
the offensive line is pretty deep.
It is,
so it's a tough spot to
both lines.
That's why it was odd when they drafted when we were saying why they drafted all these. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to put these guys? You can't stash everybody.
Scott also asks regarding Merriweather: is this camp for him kind of like the one Eugene Wilson had as a rookie, where he played at corner in camp only to become a safety in the regular season? Obviously, the situations are different, but my guess is that it's easier to go from corner to safety, so it's important to make sure Merriweather is trained up at corner just in case he's ever needed there, and then use him at safety and special teams in the season. I kind of agree with that. They know he can play safety. I think they wanted to see what he could do at corner.
I don't know if I agree with that, with all the communication, and Bill always talks about the closer you get to the ball, the more communication and adjustments and guys coming in, guys coming out. I think if they legitimately think he's going to be playing a lot of safety, we're going to see some reps of safety very soon.
Oh,
because otherwise, I think corner, to some degree, is more athletic. You're further away from the ball. You're on one side of the field. Your responsibilities are cut down. If you're a free safety communicating with Harrison and slot receivers.
From a mental perspective, well, in terms of learning, safety's harder.
No, I know he's
corner.
A safety, but he was a safety at Miami, not a safety in New England.
Corner's harder to play. But mentally, from a learning, I would think safety is harder to learn.
And you can screw somebody else up if you screw up.
I'll go
ahead.
The other thing, let's not be revisionist history historians here. Eugene Wilson played entirely cornerback in his rookie year in training camp because that's what they thought he was going to be, not because they intended on moving him to safety. And Bill will be the first guy to tell you that. That was a complete desperation move.
Right.
It did not work out in week one with Antoine Harris, and they had no other options in. You know, to Wilson's credit, he had a terrific season.
And Artrell Hawkins said the same thing about playing corner and safety, that corner's harder to play, even though you got the guy in front of you. That guy's usually one of the best athletes on the field, where safety is more of the thinking.
Right.
We're playing different areas, and it's more of that. That's probably why he's better at safety, because he's kind of an intelligent type of player.
And Bill did get that insightful question at the press conference earlier this week about the decision-making process as to which position a guy starts in if he has
some
versatility.
Who asked that question?
I don't recall.
Some fat guy.
I was sleeping.
You weren't there. One of the things that goes into it is the depth of it. What's sensitive?
You weren't there.
Tom was getting fitted for the mask of Zorro.
Oh, it's okay if we can just talk about how Paul wasn't at any of the practices, but if we say someone else wasn't at a practice, stop the presses.
Hey, Paul, I got a life.
Hey, no one.
What are you talking about? You were answering
the blog,
hanging that post
comments,
the triplets
when you were home,
making sure it was centered.
Yeah, you have such a life that you're blogging from home.
Seriously.
Hey, I do what I can.
Anyway, Bill talked about how the depth at a position can really play into that, too. And there's a lot of different factors that can come in. And, he didn't get specific as to why the reason Merriweather was playing corner and not safety. But there's a lot of different factors, I think, can play.
Phil in Salt Lake says, in response to the NFL Network comment, the Packers inter-squad scrimmage was aired multiple times. I love the idea of a network devoted to the NFL, but why must they carry such lousy program over and over? Why can't they do a better job giving out-of-market fans a chance to see all of their favorite teams' games live? But I did get a chance to see the New England Revolution play here in Salt Lake City a couple of weeks ago, so I guess that's something. And
not
thanks,
really.
Guys. And Eric does speak too quietly.
Okay. Point taken.
Wow.
Let's see.
You don't want to get on his bad side.
You don't want to give the
reason. No, I'm speaking loud. I'm talking louder now. Hope that helps.
Fred, you don't want to give the reason as to why the NFL Network can't show the games live for all the teams.
Right.
That'll be techno talk. Do we really want to get into that? That guy will get all pissed.
Yeah, we're on the tech show now. So.
The networks pay billions of dollars for the right to televise those games live. I don't think they would be all that happy with NFL Network.
Let's see. Marcos is from Argentina. He says, I'm not listening to the show live, so please send my most sincere apologies to Eric if any of my questions have already been answered. I'm concerned about our
depth. Did you rip him last week?
He rips everybody.
I'm concerned about our depth at running back. How do you see Maroney in terms of his reliability? How is Sammy Morris performing? How much do you think an injury would affect our offense? Can the openings created by the wide receivers be exploited successfully by both Morris and Maroney? And also he says, Eric in Manchester was right last Wednesday. Eric's volume is too low, so we can't hear his comments well. Jeez. Could you please ask Gary to raise it? On second thought, forget it.
Whoa. Wow.
Great
that
job.
A shot at not asking Gary to do something? Or
no,
they don't really want to hear Eric.
Yeah, that was a shot at me.
Great
yeah,
job.
Sawyer is very upset with all this tech talk, though.
Great job as usual. Congrats to Fright Night and Company for the blogging. It's great. P.S.
Don't call him Fright Night.
Please tell Eric that some of us do have jobs. I'm a teacher of English and work at a school. He is welcome to finish high school whenever he wants.
Wow. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
I'll skip your class.
You're very condescending to the fans, aren't you?
I treat people the way they're supposed to be treated.
And that's coming from Tom.
Yeah, that's coming from Fright Night Casale.
No, stop calling yourself Fright Night.
What do you think about the running back situation? Are you happy with it?
We're concerned. And there's actually a little situation yesterday, Fred. Andy and I both wrote that Sammy Morris has not been looking good in pass blocking drills, and another reporter wrote that he actually shined in pass blocking drills. But after talking to that reporter, he was too busy talking about Ohio State during most of those drills with all the members of the media, so he didn't really see what was going on.
I'm glad he leaves everything anonymous, so you don't know who he's talking about.
But I asked some of the – because I wanted to see maybe we were missing something. There's four of us. We all watch practice. We all had the same thoughts on that. So I asked some of the other members of the media. They all thought the same thing. Terrible pass blocker.
Sammy Morris has struggled so bad, in my opinion, in that particular drill, that he has made it as a who's not for me twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, one of the things that I talked about was he had a desire. He talked to Andy in the offseason about trying to assume some of Kevin Falk's third down back roles. Well, the main job description of a third down back is pass protection
right. And
catching the ball out of the backfield. And I think he struggled with both of those badly so far. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a contributing player on this team, but
we're
in
just
camp,
telling you what we see
in camp for 2 weeks or a week and a half, whatever. I don't think he has shined in either one of those areas.
And then he had a couple nice catches yesterday out of the backfield, deep wheel routes.
I read about that.
Beating a couple linebackers. So, you know, he's done some things.
I think he has some abilities
that have been horrendous.
Yeah, like I think
undrafted
he has some ability.
Free agent, horrendous. Dropping free screen passes, onside kicks that he fails to pick up that are just rolling around forever. They were working on returns. He was struggling to work with the other returners. And then the pass protection. And
the
as
pass
you said,
protection, I think,
it's kind of like Bill Belichick likes his receivers to get open and catch the ball. Third down backs have to pass protect and catch the ball. He hasn't done either.
And that's one of the things that Bill would hold in highest regard in terms of
protecting the franchise.
But you know how he always says, you know, if you can't get that conditioning run, if you can't do that, you can't protect yourself and you can't get on the field. He talks about that third down role as pass protection in the same way. If you can't protect the passer, if you don't know how to pick up a blitz, you can't get on the field as a third down back.
You're a liability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when Andy was, talking up Quentin Smith before as the potential new Patrick Cobbs of this year, just keep in mind, fans, that Quinn Smith struggled a lot in that pass blocking drill.
Yeah, but he's supposed to. He's an undrafted
player. No, I know. I'm just saying.
He's not an 8-year veteran that's been in this division forever.
I just want to win.
Well, I'm speaking to you condescendingly. I'm supposed to treat people as they should be treated.
That's true.
Paul, I know Parcells, when people would wonder why a young back was never out, he would always say, because he can't protect my quarterback.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure Belichick is in that same boat there.
That's why he was always comfortable with David Meggett, because Meggett did that very well despite his size. And Kevin Falk is much the same way.
They throw their body in there.
Josh has a response to the Asshat Matt. He says, yes, Fred, that last email was sent just before you read the email from Asshat Matt. I've got to say I was pretty disappointed as his email lacked any real evidence of wit or intellect. In the past, PFW has provided excellent side entertainment with witty rants between listeners, such as Sawyer and the other guy and the Boxborough boys. Clearly, Matt is not up for the challenge. His only viable option, realizing he lacks comparable humor and wit, and no asshat is not in a thesaurus, is to suggest a listener cage match, which would end about as well for him as things did for Chad Brown on his last run-stopping assignment. Next time I'm on a walkabout or UNICEF poverty mission, the only reasons I could think of to be in Springfield, I'll swing by the Burger King drive-thru to get some fries and see if Matt really does want to get bent over a table. Good thing I never come with any good debatable football talk in my email. Oh, wait. What were Paul and Eric just arguing about after my last email, moron? Okay, so
I stopped listening to those two.
I don't know, but he's stopped the fight. He's killing the other guy.
Yeah.
This guy's way more creative and funnier and better. Sorry to the other. Who's the other one, Josh?
That just means he has more time on his hands.
This is like me and Andy blogging. I mean,
that's
it's no contest.
Matt wants to know, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will, but wasn't Malloy a captain when he was cut?
Yes.
I believe he was.
Okay.
That is accurate.
All right, so Paul wrong again. All right.
What did Paul do?
Why is wow. that?
That was Eric.
Because you said Izzo wouldn't
Eric
get cut
wrong again.
Captain.
I said Izzo wouldn't get cut because
no,
of
Eric. Eric did.
Well, because he's still a
That was the liquored up kicker
player.
Over here.
All right, well, that's
well, either way, it'll go on the message boards as Paul.
Thank you, Tom.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you next Wednesday, and we'll talk about this preseason game.